Factor on your iPhone, BlackBerry, and AM760.net.
Supreme Court Justice Souter retires.
I don't think we're going to see a material shift in the philosophy of the court.
Swine flu cases increase in the U.S.
There is no need for panic.
And the Chrysler bankruptcy begins.
The management of Chrysler is going to be completely restructured here.
Good morning, I'm Nick Young with the CBS World News Roundup. He took his place on the nation's highest court during the administration of President George H.W. Bush.
The president's nomination and the Senate's confirmation are...
Now Justice David Souter says he intends to step down next month, and it gives President Obama an early opportunity to put his stamp on the court. Let's go live to the White House and CBS News correspondent Peter Mayer.
Right, Nick, and making his first high court choice will be a major moment for the former constitutional law professor in the Oval Office. On the campaign trail, candidate Obama outlined this view.
Part of the role of the court is to look out for the people who don't have political power, the people who are on the outside, the people who aren't represented, the people who don't have a lot of money, who don't have connections.
Many court observers believe Mr. Obama will name a second woman to join Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg. He has insisted he opposes a litmus test on the hot-button abortion issue, but he also campaigned on this standard.
Judges who will uphold the core values of our Constitution, that's why I won't back down when it comes to defending the freedom of women.
As for his judicial ideal, Mr. Obama has praised none other than Justice Souter's non-ideological approach. Live at the White House, Peter Mayer, CBS News.
The week is drawing to a close with swine flu, known by its scientific name as H1N1, still very much on the minds of public health officials around the world. In this country, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention says 130 cases of the disease have been confirmed. In Mexico, the epicenter of the outbreak, CBS's Adrian Bard reports there are signs fears may be easing a bit as the number of new cases and deaths has leveled off.
There seems to be more traffic in Mexico City than in recent days. Perhaps people are starting to feel a little more confident about the situation in their country. You see people coming out of the subway. Many are still wearing masks, but some are not wearing masks anymore. And just waiting to see if this thing is going to blow over.
In this country, are all the states prepared for a full-blown flu pandemic? We're live with CBS News correspondent Steve Kathan.
The simple answer seems to be no.
We have already stockpiled in our state antiviral medication.
Maryland's governor's confident there's enough medicine for this outbreak, but the Washington Post says Maryland is one of several states to fall short of federal standards for stockpiles to handle a major health crisis.
The federal government has nearly 50 million treatment courses.
Health Secretary Kathleen Sebelius, with that federal goal being met, states are still millions of doses short, and some have no stockpile at all. Nick?
Amid fears over the H1N1 flu, there is also criticism that the media and officials have overreacted. Hundreds of schools across the country have been closed. Nearly 900,000 students in Fort Worth, Texas, have been put out of their classrooms for 2 weeks. But parent Whitney Brown says it's better to err on the side of caution.
I don't know if anyone wants to come out and say we're severely overreacting and then something tragic happens to a child.
At today's Northeastern University commencement ceremonies in Boston, officials are paying attention to warnings about how the flu can be transmitted. University spokesman Mike Armini.
After consulting with public health officials, we made a decision to let our graduates know that we would not have the traditional handshake when they receive their diploma.
In Comal County, Texas, the Reverend Brad McLean is shortening services at First Baptist Church this weekend.
I don't think that Walmart's going to be closed, so I don't believe we need to close the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ either.
Bud McLean says he will encourage knuckle bumps instead of the usual handshake between parishioners. Time on the roundup is 4 minutes past the hour.
I'm David Kale with an AM 760 local news update. Two confirmed cases of H1N1 or swine flu in Colorado. A woman who took a cruise to Mexico and then spent several days in San Diego, and a male baggage handler at DIA. Dr. Ned Kalange with the State Health Department believes more cases are ahead.
The situation continues to revolve and evolve rapidly. We're asking people to be on alert for changes in our guidance and our instructions as we learn more.
The woman recovered without going to the hospital. The man should be released from the hospital today. Colorado health officials waiting for test results on more people. Unionized workers at Safeway's meat warehouse in Denver have voted to authorize a strike if a new labor contract isn't reached by the time the existing one expires on May 9th. United Food and Commercial Workers say the grocery chain hasn't relented on proposed cuts in pension benefits and a wage freeze for two-thirds of workers. The warehouse contract covers 30 31 employees. And another sign of the times, the Denver Post reducing circulation outside the Front Range. Beginning next week, the Post will cut back Monday through Saturday distribution, and by July won't deliver to the far western slope, eastern Colorado, or surrounding states. The Sunday Denver Post circulation will continue as is. Sports, Rockies begin a series in San Francisco tonight. That's your AM 760 Progressive Talk News Update. I'm David Cale. Now Todd Parker with your AM 760 Progressive Traffic.
CDOT crews have wrapped up their overnight construction projects. Those won't get in your way, and we've got no crashes or stalls either. Outside the metro area, however, watch out for areas of patchy fog along I-25 south of Castle Rock towards Monument Hill. We're also seeing very foggy conditions in the foothills along I-70. I'm Todd Parker, AM 760, Progressive Talk.
You work hard for your money. You should use a product that works hard for you. Pick up a bag of Colorado-made, organic-based, pro-rich turf food by Richlawn.
The winner of American Idol.
You are a victim.
American audiences could soon be dancing with the Idol, as former Idol winner Ruben Studdard announces that he's keen to compete on Dancing with the Stars. The season 2 winner recently revealed that he thinks it's a wonderful show and that he would love to be a part of it. Studdard is currently touring with the 8 Misbehavin' Anniversary Tour, and his new album hits stores on May 19th.
Reality TV Rundown.
Every once in a while, a revolutionary product comes along that changes everything.
Take it out of the future.
The recently released Amazon Kindle 2 has a couple of new buttons, the iPhone and iPod Touch. A new app has just been pushed out through Apple's App Store, which allows users to read the exact same Kindle content with their Apple devices. It doesn't end there, though, as shared features include the ability to sync bookmarks, buy new content, and more.
Inspector Gadget.
Technology. Every once in a while, a revolutionary product comes along that changes everything.
Take it out of the future.
Looking for a new companion to keep track of the time and the number of calories you're burning? You need to check out the latest additions to Garmin's Forerunner range of watches, including the 310 XT, which features a robust exterior, is waterproof to 50 meters, boasts improved calorie counting accuracy, and also has GPS and wireless connectivity capabilities.
Inspector Gadget.
Curious. I always like to know if I did us right, because that's what it was all about. I was not just representing me. I was representing, hopefully, many of us in this fight against extreme conservatism. If you haven't heard the debate between me and Mike Rosen, I think you'll enjoy it. A lot of people told me, some people that didn't agree with me on the issues, they thought it made for good radio. So if you haven't heard it, go to www.am760.net and listen to it, and you can download the podcast, and you can vote on who you think won. So far, the voting's actually, well, according to the vote, I'm ahead. So more people, but you know, who knows if they.
According to Colorado polls, it says Bludgeons Rosen. Sirota Bludgeons Rosen headline.
I had nothing to do with that story, I swear. So I'll just let you make the call. Go on to www.am760.net for that. Okay, we're going to do a news rundown. There's a ton of news, so now for our 6 a.m. news rundown.
Good evening. I'm Ron Burgundy, and this is what's happening in your world tonight.
Big news. Remember yesterday's story about Cramdown, this thing where this bill to allow homeowners, if they're in bankruptcy, to have bankruptcy judges consider renegotiating the terms of their loans? Yeah, the bill failed yesterday in the Senate. Only 45 Democrats voted for it. So much for the idea that Arlen Specter's change means Democrats are going to be able to pass basic legislation. Here is the local angle, because we always do local news first. Mark Udall voted for the bill. Good on you, Mark. Michael Bennett, our appointed U.S. Senator, did not vote for it. He voted against it. He was one of 12 conservative Democrats to vote with the banks and against homeowners. Dick Durbin, the lead sponsor of that bill, said, quote, "The banks own this place." And one of the people that they obviously own in the place is Michael Bennett. That's right. Michael Bennett voted with the banks and against homeowners, against giving regular people the same privileges in bankruptcy courts that millionaires have when it comes to their beach homes. Remember, the key on this issue, folks, is the fact that a bankruptcy judge is empowered to write down the mortgages on vacation homes and investment properties, which of course are disproportionately owned by rich people, but they're not allowed to write down the mortgages of primary residences. That is, the homes of most of us. And Michael Bennett sided with the banks. All Republicans and 12 Democrats, including Michael Bennett, voted against Cramdown, killing it. Some more bad news, unfortunately. In the state legislature, the effort to do away with the Electoral College here in Colorado is over for the year. The bill, the National Popular Vote bill being carried by Chris Romer, was tabled. It had passed the state house, but it failed in the Senate. So much for democracy. Some good news. The Colorado Senate passed a bill to toughen Colorado's seatbelt law on Thursday, sending it to the House. The Senate voted 20-15 to back the bill, with all Republicans, you know, with all Republicans and one Democrat voting against it. I mean, it passed, but you know who the one Democrat voting against it was? Morgan Carroll. I mean, what is up with her? She's usually been so good. What is going on? Morgan, you're making it hard to be a fan of yours lately. AP story. Conservationists say livestock grazing poses a threat to a wide variety of fish and other wildlife across more than three-fourths of their dwindling habitats on federal land in the West. Using satellite mapping and federal records, Wild Earth Guardians began a study last year matching wildlife habitat and grazing allotments across more than 260 million acres of federal land in the West. And the conclusions of the study were not encouraging. As we reported yesterday, Colorado legislators are moving closer to approving a $50 million tax break that could lead to the construction of a stock car racetrack. A new home for the National Western Stock Show, and mountain venues to host the Winter Olympics. Sounds to me like corporate welfare, and in the 7 a.m. hour, we're going to talk to Jack Palmer, state representative who is opposing this bill. National news. The big A1 story is Justice David Souter is planning to retire from the Supreme Court at the end of his term, so President Obama will have a choice of a new justice soon. Chrysler files to seek bankruptcy protection. And President Obama went off on hedge funds, saying they were unnecessarily inflexible in negotiating this. Some hedge funds are the creditors for Chrysler. I find it somewhat shocking that President Obama is railing on hedge funds, considering he has refused so far to get tough with hedge funds and the financial industry in general when it comes to the bailouts. As I mentioned, Senate Majority Whip Dick Durbin of Illinois is going off on his colleagues, saying that they are basically bought off by the banking industry after this cram-down vote. And interestingly, some Democrats are saying that the White House refused to push this bill as vigorously as necessary, even though President Obama publicly, officially supported it. Quote, "I cannot tell that President Obama has used his powers on this issue," said Representative Brad Miller, a Democrat from North Carolina, who worked with Durbin on the bill. Another supporter, Senate Banking Committee Chairman Chris Dodd, said the Obama administration showed some ambivalence. "The administration said they were for it. I wouldn't expect much more." And Dodd goes on to say that the White House just didn't push as hard as it needed to push. And the Hill newspaper notes that newly minted Democratic Senator Arlen Specter has cast his second straight vote against his new party's agenda. So, for all the hype, Arlen Specter's change of parties hasn't meant much of anything. And that's the subject of my column today in the Denver Post and all throughout Colorado in the Fort Collins, Coloradan, and in papers across the state. It's about Specter. I encourage you to go read it. The good news, the Senate next week will take up a measure to increase consumer protections for credit card holders, even though Senate Democratic leaders acknowledge that they are unsure if they have the votes to ward off a filibuster. So they're pushing that forward. That's good. Some science and cultural news. When you hook a fish, does it hurt? A new study suggests yes. In the new study, researchers gave morphine to one group of fish and injected the other group with a placebo. The fish were treated to burning sensations that were expected to be painful, but which did not damage any tissue. Both groups reacted the same. However, the fish that had been on morphine later went about its business as if nothing had happened. The fish that had gotten the saline, the placebo, were wary after the test. So, and I do some fly fishing, and so this bothers me that they're finding out that fish feel pain. Because, you know, you catch and release. And you tell yourself that it doesn't really hurt them. From the Ottawa Citizen, experts studying pandemics such as the swine flu have long been stymied by computer models that lacked one critical variable, free will. Subjects in a computer model only do what the program tells them to do, not what they necessarily want them to do. So where would a self-respecting expert find a model that is more like the real world? Well, in the virtual world, of course, in the online society created by the video game World of Warcraft. Researchers in Canada and around the world are using the lessons learned from a virtual plague that tore through World of Warcraft's community for years, 4 years ago, to better prepare for the mass quarantines that could be part of a full pandemic. It's interesting. It's really interesting. Wired Magazine. This is cool. Seth MacFarlane is making official plans for a Family Guy movie. That's pretty sweet. And I also read yesterday that Matthew McConaughey is talking to Richard Linklater about doing a second Dazed and Confused. Would be cooler if they did. And our final story here from the news rundown. From the AP, police in northwestern Pennsylvania. I love this story. Police in northwestern Pennsylvania say a burglar took some jelly beans from a home, but nothing else. Police said Thursday that they're stumped by the burglary in Northeast Township. Sergeant Mark Zaleski said it remains unclear whether the suspect wanted only jelly beans, or maybe that's all the thief had time to grab. Police said the burglar broke a front door window and took the jelly beans from a dining room table, and the homeowner reported that nothing else was missing or even moved. It kind of reminds me of that scene, one of my favorite scenes from the movie The Golden Child. Remember this scene? We got the audio on it. When Eddie Murphy is breaking, he's going to break into a house, and he's walking through somebody else's house, and here's what he says.
I'm not going to hurt anybody. I don't want no trouble. No trouble. I just want some chips. I want some chips. That's all. I don't want some chips. See? The chip. That's it. Turn that over, man. It's burning. It's burning. Turn it over. It's burning. I just want some chips.
He just wanted some jelly beans. The burglar just wanted some jelly beans. So that's our news rundown for you.
I'm Ron Burgundy. You stay classy, San Diego.
So today is Movie Friday. We'll throw out the movie question of the day. What's your favorite movie? What do you think the scariest or best movie about disease outbreak is? There's the movie Outbreak. There's a couple other movies I'll give you on the other end of the break. It's a good story in Salon about a bunch of movies about movie outbreaks. So if you call up, make sure to have a movie outbreak for you, for us, for Movie Friday, a movie about diseases, about outbreaks, anything in that genre. And then the question of the hour, well, I'll save it for the break. You'll have to listen till after the break. So start thinking about Movie Friday and your favorite outbreak movie. And after this break, I'll throw out the first question of the day that we're going to discuss here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. I'm David Sirota, filling in for J. Marvin. Oh, yeah, and when you call up, let us know what you thought about the Mike Rosen debate. Did you like the programming? Did you like the debate? Who do you think won? Stick around. 303-713-7600. I'm David Sirota, filling in here for J. Marvin. 39 degrees in Denver, going up to 52. Rain in the forecast. Let's go to John Turk with traffic.
Good morning, David. Traffic always a little lighter on Fridays and the rest of the week, and this morning looks like no exception. Southbound I-25 is starting to build for us in the usual spots, but speed's still pretty decent there in North Glen, 104th to 84th. You will tap the brakes also near downtown after 38th Ave. Southbound 225 also building around Colfax. No problems as you're approaching the tech center yet. Westbound 76 also starting to fill in there from 74th Avenue down to 270. Patchy fog on I-70 near Floyd Hill. Same deal on I-25 near Monument Hill. Your forecast, cloudy with pretty good chance for rain showers. High should be in the lower 50s. Right now, 42 degrees in Denver. John Turk, AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Choice is a good thing, especially at...
REI asks, just how great can the great outdoors be? Find out at the REI Anniversary Sale, our biggest sale of the year. Gear up for summer and save up to 30% on select camping, hiking, cycling, and paddling gear. Plus, REI members can save 20% on one item. Not a member? Then it's the perfect time to join. May 1st through May 10th. Stop by your local REI retailer or shop REI.com. REI. Find out.
Offer applies to one full price item. Exclusions apply.
Hi, Tom Harbin here to tell you about Lauer's Hardwoods. Want to save money, help the environment, and improve the look of your home? Buy Beetle Kill Wood Products. Lauer's Hardwoods carries Beetle Kill pine flooring, paneling, trim, siding, 2x4s, and logs. It's beautiful, cheaper to buy, and helps Colorado forests. Visit their showroom in Lakewood or their booth at the Denver Green Festival. Mention this ad and receive 10% off your purchase. For details, call 303-205-WOOD or LowersHardwoods.com.
Santa Fe Pottery has all the touches you need to make your yard a special place to be. Their spring sale is going on now. Hurry in for the best selection on a wide variety of planters, pots, sunfaces, chimeneas, and more. For the first time ever, Old Santa Fe Pottery is taking 20% off their glazed outdoor pottery. During the spring sale, all Mexican outdoor pottery is 30% off. Old Santa Fe Pottery spring sale. You'll find savings and selection on the perfect pieces for your yard. Old Santa Fe Pottery, 2485 South Santa Fe Drive, just south of Evans.
This is John Elway. I could have gone anywhere for LASIK, but I selected Icon LASIK right here in Denver. Icon has performed over 65,000 LASIK surgeries in Colorado using the latest custom laser technology. And Icon makes LASIK more affordable starting at $4.99 per eye. Schedule your free LASIK consultation today at 720-524-1001 or visit iconlasik.com. That's 720-524-1001. And tell them John sent you.
How windy it can get here in Colorado, not to mention our rain, snow, hot sun. Why not get the most durable patio furniture you can find at Freehoff's Patio and Garden Center in Boulder? Hi, it's April Zesbaugh. April is heavy metal month at Freehoff's, which means they've got a ton of wrought iron and other metal tables and chairs on sale all month. All of their furniture has been tested and selected for our harsh climate here. Spelled Freehoff's, pronounced Freehoff's, at 33rd and Arapahoe in Boulder. The quality and deals make it worth the drive from anywhere.
1-800-7094. 1-800-700-7094.
/6:24. 39 degrees on the Front Range, cloudy. God, we the schedule of rain and sun around here is not coordinating properly with the weekend. All I wanted to do this weekend was like be outside, get out of the city, and it's going to be cold and rainy. 39 degrees here, going up to 52. Rain in the forecast tomorrow, high of 48 predicted with rain in the forecast. Sunday a little better. All right, so Movie Friday, Attack of the Killer Plague Movies. There's a great article on Salon.com. And so when you call up, give us your favorite plague movies, disease movies, plague movies, in obviously in memorial or in light of the swine flu panic. A couple movies that that the Salon.com lists in that genre. Children of Men, that's a great, great movie. It's about a disease that hits the world where women can't have children anymore. It's a really, really dark movie. Salon lists Blindness, I Am Legend, Diary of the Dead. Oh, and obviously this is a creepy one. 28 Weeks Later and 28 Days Later. That's a crazy movie. Other movies, older movies, The Omega Man, The Last Man on Earth, Resident Evil. I remember Outbreak with Dustin Hoffman. Pretty bad movie, actually. So what's your favorite outbreak or plague movie? And also when you call up, 303-713-7600, give us your take on the debate yesterday, my debate with Mike Rosen. Did you enjoy the debate? Who do you think won? Did you learn anything? 303-713-7600. And then the more serious topic, who do you think was right in yesterday's vote? Yesterday the Senate voted down the bill to allow bankruptcy judges to reduce or renegotiate the terms of mortgages so as to prevent homeowners from being foreclosed on. 8 million Americans are on the brink, roughly 8 million are near or in the foreclosure zone. And so who do you think was right? Do you think Senator Mark Udall was right to vote for the cram-down legislation? He voted with 44 other Democrats to give bankruptcy judges this power. Or do you think Michael Bennett was right? Michael Bennett, the appointed senator, voted with the entire Republican Party and 11 Democrats with the banking industry and against this cram-down legislation. Who do you think was right, Udall or Bennett? 303-713-7600. Again, 303-713-7600. Let's go to the phones. Joanne in Denver, you're on AM 760.
Hi, you actually said it, and I didn't think anyone would even think about it. 28 Days Later.
Yes.
Awesome.
Yeah, it's a scary movie.
It is, but it's very realistic, and I think, and since it's European, it's just a little out there. Very realistic, though. Makes you wonder.
I've only seen pieces of it because it's when it's come on, I've fired it up, and then my wife sits down, and it's like we're not really allowed to watch that in our house.
Yeah, it's that's the thing is, if anyone were to even just ask me what is my all-time favorite movie, that's it. And actually, the vice president of our company always asks a trick question, and that's my answer. And he just looked at me kind of sideways, like, "Wouldn't have thought that from you."
28 Days Later is your favorite movie?
Favorite all-time movie.
Wow.
I kid you not. It's because it's so realistic. It's so possible. It's so fiction, but yet could be nonfiction.
All right, you've convinced me. I'm gonna rent it or something. I'm gonna watch it.
Seriously, it's just an awesome movie. And if you get it on DVD, because I obviously own it now, what I really liked about it is the fact that they put all the endings on it.
Oh, cool. You mean like possible endings?
Well, yes, because when they tested it with audiences, the audiences had to decide how they would want
it
to end. And I'm not going to blow it for you because they did give you the opportunity to have all the different scenarios.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, good.
And I'm like a really nice, happy-go-lucky person. But
okay,
I'm
all right, good.
Scenario.
Yeah, so you're not like a super dark person.
Oh, God, no. I am such a sweetheart. That's why I think that the VP was just like, oh, okay, that's a little bizarre.
All right, Joanne.
You have to have that dark side. But as far as the Udall thing.
Yeah, what do you think?
Yeah, Udall. Udall was right. And here's the thing. I pay my mortgage. I have a whole bunch of credit card debt. I'm living the American dream is how I see it. And you know what? I would want to help my fellow Americans, not in the sense that, it's coming out of my taxpayer dollars or what have you. But, if someone's filing bankruptcy, there's a reason. They've lost a job. They've had medical expenses. we shouldn't judge them, but a judge can. You know,
I'm glad that you mentioned that, because we didn't get that point in yesterday. You know, there's a study out there by Harvard University that by far the most the reason for most people filing bankruptcy is medical debt. Mm-hmm. Or loss of a job. So the whole idea that people go into bankruptcy because they've made, you know, irresponsible choices. Now, obviously, there are people who have made irresponsible choices. But you listen to the Republican rhetoric around this, especially around the bankruptcy bill a couple of years ago. And they came up with this, like, updated welfare queen idea. Like, oh, mm-hmm. you know, people are driving around luxury cars and they're living the good life. And they made those bad choices. And that's why they're in bankruptcy. Well, it's somewhere, if I remember correctly, I think it's about 3/4 of bankruptcies have to do with medical debt or losing a job. So not exactly, you know, people living the high life.
Exactly. And that's why, you know, I've made, you know, the right decisions, and some of them have also. It's just life, you know, handed them a lemon and we need to help them out. You know, it's not, they didn't do it to themselves, not all of them. Sure. And, you know, there's going to be a few bad apples in every seed. I mean, look at the Democrats. Hello.
Right.
Not everyone's going to vote the same. Not everyone's going to believe in the same thing, and not everyone's going to file bankruptcy for the right reason.
That's exactly right. Hey, thanks for the call.
You bet. Have a good one.
You too. I'm David Sirota, filling in for Jay Marvin on AM 760 Progressive Talk, 303-713-7600. Give us your thoughts on the debate, yesterday's debate between me and Mike Rosen, and give us your favorite disease or plague movie. This is Movie Friday. And tell us who you think was right, Mark Udall, for voting for this cram down legislation yesterday, or Michael Bennett, who voted with the banks and against the cram down legislation. Danny in Denver, what do you think?
Hey, David, you the man.
Thanks, man.
Yeah, how's it going?
Good.
Hey, listen, I don't have a movie. You know, I've listened to you, you know, do this Movie Friday, and I've had an opinion on almost all of them except this one. I can't think of a disease or outbreak movie that.
Have you seen any? Have you seen Children of Men?
No, only one I could think that I've seen is Outbreak.
Outbreak. That's an okay movie. It's like, it's a little cheesy.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know,
I can't say it's my favorite, you know, movie. I know I've seen others. I just can't think of it.
Yeah. Well, there's, you know, the 28 days. 28 weeks later,
mm-hmm.
Children of Men. There's a bunch out there, and I'm sure I'm not thinking of many. And I bet you people are going to call up today and give us a bunch of them.
Yeah, I bet. So I'll listen to that in that 28 days that the woman was
that's
talking
a, it's
about.
It's a scary movie.
Yeah, I think I'll try to get that one. But the reason I was calling is I listened to part of your debate with Mike Rosen.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to apologize to you because I've been listening to you since you've been on for Jay. And, you know, I didn't know if you were a good debater or not. And I've listened to Mike Rose, and you know, I know how he can, you know, try to bully people.
Mm-hmm.
And, man, you did great.
Thanks, man.
Yeah,
thanks.
No, you did great. And you did have him frustrated. He tried to bully you.
He seemed pretty ticked off, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. And I listened for about 45 minutes, and the hypocrisy of him, that's why I quit listening to him. He just would drive me nuts. But that whole argument, well, that segment you guys had on the bank regulation changing as opposed to, no, they changed the law.
Right. That was really pedantic. You know, I didn't even understand his point. He was,
I didn't either.
It was very bizarre. But, I mean, you know what it says to me? Man, it says to me that conservatives are afraid of that debate now.
Yeah.
Like, they don't want to have that debate, so they have to try to use all sorts of, like, rhetorical pyrotechnics to distract from the real issue.
Right, that's exactly what that was, because if he couldn't understand that simple fact, he was being dishonest, you know.
Evasive.
Yeah,
exactly. And the whole point, I mean, I thought the funniest part of it was when he was telling me, you don't understand.
Right.
You don't understand. And now, I wasn't on the debate team, but I'll tell you this. John McCain made himself look like a fool when he was lecturing Barack Obama, saying, you know, you don't understand, you don't understand.
Right.
It's kind of like the last refuge for a debater when they don't know,
exactly.
when they actually don't understand, or perhaps they do understand that they're cornered, so they just say, well, you don't understand. It was pretty funny, and at one point, I said, you know, Mike, you're just reiterating what I've just said.
Exactly.
And I said, we can go to the tape if you want. And
oh, yeah. Yeah, I was screaming at the radio. It was driving me nuts. I'm not a great debater, but, you know, I know common sense and I know basic facts. And you know, following that debate, I don't know how anyone could listen to what he was saying and understand the difference.
Well, let's hope he's willing to, in the future, let's hope he's willing to have another one. I hope he's not so ticked off that he won't do it again. I thought it was definitely at least a valuable experience. Hey, Danny, thanks for the call, man.
Yeah, thank you.
6:35, I'm David Sirota, filling in for J. Marvin here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. It's Movie Friday. What are your favorite plague or disease movies?
It didn't take long for Mike to dig into you, did it?
No.
Immediately he said, I think one of the first comments out of his mouth was, I think your station is way more far to the left than our station.
Yeah,
is
I know. It's like so ridiculous. And by the way,
it was like his first thing he said.
And then he later on like kind of made a blanket statement about the audience. You know, we got one caller, and he was like, oh, well, the AM 760 audience, the entire audience, he sort of denigrated the whole audience. And it's like, you know, these are the standard tactics of conservative radio hosts. And, you know, he seemed pissed off, but I thought it was a worthwhile thing. I thought it was fun.
I like the name calling, and then like, David, you're a bedwetting, you know, big government.
Let's go to break.
Spender. We'll be right back.
It was so funny. That was really funny.
That was good radio. Great radio. Hopefully we can do it again.
I hope we can too. So give us a call 303-713-7600. Give us your opinion on the debate yesterday. If you haven't heard it, go to www.am760.net. I think you'll appreciate it. Give us your favorite plague movie or disease movie, Outbreak, Children of Men, 28 Days Later. Those have been listed. And also, tell us what you think. Who do you support? Mark Udall yesterday cast a vote allowing bankruptcy judges to write down mortgages so as to prevent foreclosures. He voted against the banks. Unfortunately, Michael Bennett voted with the banks and with 11 other Democrats and with the entire Republican Party to kill that bill. Who do you think was right? Udall or Bennett? 303-713-7600. Let's go to John Turk with traffic.
Well, it's nice and light as we're starting off the morning commute. We do have some fog, though, in a couple different spots. You'll see it on I-70 near Floyd Hill, also in the south end of town between Denver and Colorado Springs at Monument Hill. Freeways around the metro looking pretty good for us. Speed still in the 30s. Southbound I-25 up in North Glen, again downtown, going to be a little heavy. Also on 225 leaving at Colfax again after Yosemite. That's starting to build there on the approach to the tech center. Also busy westbound 76 at 74th Avenue, but we are accident and stall free. Forecast mostly cloudy and cooler. Isolated rain showers and a high of 53 today. Tomorrow, rain in the afternoon and a high of 50. And on Sunday, partly cloudy with a chance for showers and a high of 57. Right now, 42 degrees in Denver. John Turk, AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Denver, show your pride, move your ride. Help to keep Denver's streets, air, and water clean. Move your car and your street sweeping day to keep the Mile High City clean, and you won't get a ticket. Visit keepitcleandenver.org to sign up for a free e-minder or text, or call 311 for free calendar stickers.
Stop all the labeling. Stop all the name calling. The country is...
Hi, Tom Hartman here to tell you about Independent Power Systems, a proud supporter of AM 760. Did you know that electricity rates have gone up by 38% in the last year? Why not lock in low electricity prices for life by going solar? Let Independent Power Systems show you how rebates and tax incentives pay for up to 60% of a solar system. That's nearly $25,000 off. Independent Power Systems reminds you that the XL solar rebate won't last forever. Act now before the opportunity to save up to 60% on solar ends. Call Independent Power Systems at 303-443-0115 for a free solar assessment from the Coors Field Solar Experts. Going solar is easy. Let Independent Power Systems show you how. Call 303-443-0115. That's 303-443-0115. Or visit Independent Power Systems online at solarrips.com. S-O-L-A-R-I-P-S
icon.com.
This is John Elway. I could have gone anywhere for LASIK, but I selected Icon LASIK right here in Denver. Icon has performed over 65,000 LASIK surgeries in Colorado using the latest custom laser technology. And Icon makes LASIK more affordable starting at $4.99 per eye. Schedule your free LASIK consultation today at 720-524-1001 or visit IconLASIK.com. That's 720-524-1001. And tell them John sent you.
The winner of American Idol.
You are a victim.
Get ready for another reality TV show which promises to significantly transform the lives of its contestants. If you think you've heard it all before, think again. This as-yet-unnamed show, which is set to air on NBC sometime later this year, will feature the king of self-help, Tony Robbins, who hopes to strengthen and motivate individuals faced with real-life struggles.
Reality TV Rundown.
Every once in a while, a revolutionary product comes along that changes everything.
Take it out of the future.
With the new iPod Shuffle, think zero, as in zero buttons. Yep, user control of the new Shuffle from the main unit to the headphones results in a reduction in size of around 50%. As cool as it sounds, though, there is one small caveat. If you're doing anything other than sitting still, you're going to have trouble grabbing the constantly swaying headphone control.
Inspector Gadget.
1-8-1. That's 1-800-331-2181. 1-800-331-2181.
The Australian government has agreed to release the gold koala into the U.S. The gold koala is a 24-carat solid gold coin and will be released to the American public through agreement with the New York Mint. We'll have a number you can call in a moment. But first, during the Depression, no one wanted to face economic turmoil without the security of gold. After the Depression, the U.S. melted down millions of U.S. gold coins and relatively few remain today, leaving many U.S. coin dealers unable to meet current demand for gold coins. Now, through an agreement with the Perth Mint, the 24-carat solid gold Australian gold koala is being released to the public on a first-come, first-served basis at a price of $98 each, with a strict limit of 5 per caller when you call now. Please dial carefully and call the Mint directly at 1-800-700-5216. Again, 1-800-700-5216. 1-800-700-5216.
.642 on the Front Range. 39 degrees going up to 52 with rain in the forecast. Decidedly not a sandals day. What'd you think about the debate yesterday between me and Mike Rosen? If you didn't hear it, go to www.am760.net. And if you did hear it, give us a call. Let us know what you think about it. Curious if you liked the debate, if you learned something from it, and who you thought won. Movie Friday, what's your favorite plague movie? Favorite movie about an outbreak in light of the swine flu panic? And then the political question of the hour is, who do you think was right, Mark Udall or Michael Bennett? Udall cast a vote yesterday for the bill that would allow bankruptcy judges to renegotiate the terms of home loans so as to prevent foreclosures. Michael Bennett voted with the banks and with 12 Democrats and the entire Republican Party against that bill. Who do you think was right? 303-713-7600. We'll get back to the phones. Let's go to Kevin in Boulder. Kevin.
Good morning, David.
Morning.
Well, I've got a lot of comments on the so-called debate yesterday. First of all, just the format of it was flawed in that there was no moderator, and Rosen would set up, you know, tell several lies in 30 seconds or less, and then say, oh, got to go to break, and then
right.
He gave you a chance to respond to that. So it wasn't truly a debate as far as that goes. And what was discussed, I felt, was kind of a distraction from Obama's first 100 days. He talked about lots of different presidents, but not a whole lot about what Obama has done. And then he speculated on about what Obama is going to do, and you guys argued about that. So that was kind of irrelevant as well. So I kind of thought the focus was off. And the big thing was is that number of times Rosen interrupted you and said, oh, well, let me finish, blah, 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 blah. And so you would, you know, let him make his point. But when you went to make a point, he would interrupt you, and unfortunately you did not push back on that and say, now, wait a minute, you have to let me finish.
Well, I thought I got, if not equal time, then I thought I got close to equal time. I didn't time it, so maybe you're right. I mean, I don't know how it sounded to everybody else. That's true.
I tried to look at it objectively. I knew what the points were that you were trying to make, so I had kind of an advantage there. But if I hadn't have known what your points were, I would have thought that you got smoked in that, because you spent a lot of the time agreeing with what he said, and then you didn't.
I spent a lot of time agreeing with what he said?
Yeah, you'd say, well, I have to agree with that, or, you know, various things that, like Clinton did or whatever.
Well, I do agree with that. I mean, I do agree that Bill Clinton was part of deregulation. I'm not.
Right, and I agree with that as well. But the thing is the more that you agreed with him, the less it looked like it made him look like he was more right and you were more wrong, because you agreed with some of the things he said, whereas he didn't agree with anything you said.
All right, so. that's a fair point. I think the only thing I would say is that, and that's a fair point, it's good criticism. The only thing I would say is that I don't necessarily think that you get credibility by pretending every single argument your opponent says is wrong. I mean, unless they're really wrong. I mean, and I think that, I actually think that it's interesting that you bring this up, because I think that that's what hurt, to my mind, what hurt Rosen, was that he was willing to concede absolutely nothing. And when you do that, I think you end up sounding like a talking points machine.
Right.
You don't end up sounding like an honest person.
I think that you, some agreements fine, but I think it was a little too much.
That's fair enough.
And like I said, I think that it really kind of lost the focus on the first 100 days. You know, you spent a lot of time arguing about Roosevelt's unemployment differences, and
right.
You never mentioned the fact that 25% unemployment was caused by the GOP in the first place.
No, that's not true, and we can go to the tape. I mentioned that twice. I said it followed a Republican era, and then I also said that it was as the result of specifically of many of Herbert Hoover's Republican policies. So,
right.
I did say that.
I did hear that, but then he followed up and with his whole spiel about how it didn't
fix the great
didn't fix
right,
it, and
yeah,
I
right.
felt that you kind of needed to respond again to that.
That's fair enough. Hey, I gotta get some other calls. You got a movie?
Yeah, Andromeda Strain.
Oh, that's a good one. Nice. That's a good one, and a great book, by the way.
Yeah, my folks wouldn't let me watch Dark Shadows when I was young, too.
Oh, okay.
It was about vampire soap opera.
How old is it? How old is that movie?
It wasn't a movie. It was a TV show.
Oh, TV show.
Yeah, that was back in the 60s, a black and white.
Cool. I'm glad you reminded me of the Andromeda Strain. That's a good movie. Thanks, man.
You bet. Have a great day.
All right, you too. 6:48, I'm David Sirota, filling in for Jay Marvin on AM 760 Progressive Talk. 303-713-7600. Give us your take on the debate yesterday between me and Mike Rosen. If you haven't heard it, www.am760.net. Give us your favorite movie about an outbreak in light of the swine flu panic. Tell us, if you want, who you think was right on this cram down bill. This bill to go up against the banks. Was Udall right for voting against the banks? Or was Michael Bennett right for voting with the banks? Bob in Denver, what do you think? Bob?
David.
Yes, sir.
I told John this morning that I've been trying to call him for the past 2 weeks to compliment you guys on your shows over those periods.
Thanks, I appreciate it.
Yeah, and I've been listening to talk radio since the early late 50s. I used to listen to Rosen, and he's got a hot collar. There's no doubt about that.
He does.
And you are definitely easier to listen to.
Good. Well, I appreciate that.
Well, I appreciate you guys' shows and the subjects you carry, and I appreciate the time you give your audience.
Hey, thanks, Bob.
And just keep it going.
All right, man. Thanks.
Thanks, David.
I appreciate it.
Hey, wait a minute.
Yeah.
I think the judges should be able to adjust these loans because, Lord, they adjust loans all the time in the higher bracket of business.
All right. So there we go. So we got somebody weighing in for Mark Udall. I agree with you, Bob.
I don't have a movie. Thank you.
All right, man. Thanks, Bob.
All right, bye.
All right, we'll do one more call before the break. We'll go to Elizabeth in Denver.
Hi.
Hi.
I really enjoy your show.
Thanks.
My movie is The Stand by Stephen King.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. See, I you know, it was funny. We were talking about this. Turk and I were talking about this before the show, and we were like, are there enough movies out there about, you know, diseases, outbreaks, this kind of thing. And I said, I think there are. And I named a couple, and now everyone's bringing up some great ones. Andromeda Strain, now you're saying The Stand. There are a lot of them out there.
Yes, there are. There's a lot of creepy ones.
Yeah.
But that's the creepiest one, in my opinion.
Yeah. would you listen to the debate yesterday, or do you want to weigh in on the Udall-Bennett issue?
Well, I think Udall did make the right decision. In that matter, and regarding the debate, I didn't hear all of it. My husband did, but I thought you were really great, and Rosen was really being a bully, like that other guy said. And
you know, he's interesting. You know, without the hold button, he got. I thought he got a little unhinged at times. I thought he got a little hot under the collar, as the previous caller said. I wasn't expecting that because he's usually pretty smooth when he's just doing his show. Hey, Elizabeth, thanks for the call. 651, I'm David Sirota here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. We'll get back to your calls after a traffic update with John Turk.
Well, traffic is looking pretty good for us on the freeway systems around town. I am getting reports of a crash, though, eastbound I-70 at Wadsworth. Also one on Wadsworth southbound side around 72nd. Those might be the same accident. That's what CBS is reporting. But something going on there near Wadsworth and I-70 around town. Southbound 225, pretty full, leaving Aurora. First at Colfax, again after Yosemite. Also busy on southbound I-25. In those normal spots, North Glen, our heaviest jams right now between 104th and 84th speeds in the 20s and 30s. And there, also going to be busy after Park Avenue, taking you past Beer Boulevard. Patchy fog as well, I-70 near Floyd Hill and near Monument on I-25. Forecast cloudy with pretty good chance for rain showers. Highs in the lower 50s. Right now, 42 degrees in Denver. John Turk, AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
When you're on your motorcycle, nothing catches you off guard. Until something does. Live longer. Ride further. Take a class. Learn more at comotorcyclesafety.com. That's comotorcyclesafety.com.
Mario's.
Introducing TGI Friday's restaurant's new $5 sandwiches and salads. 9 irresistible new selections like the JD Chicken Sandwich or Santa Fe Chop Salad, all for just $5. And to celebrate, right now, any sandwich or salad on our menu is just $5 too. So hurry in to get yours now, because this offer is only for a limited time. Visit Fridays.com for details. Gimme more Fridays. Prices and participation may vary for a limited time only.
Presenting another compelling identity theft metaphor, brought to you by Identity Guard. Today, icebergs.
When it comes to identity theft protection, a free credit report is just the tip of the iceberg. But often, there's no iceberg below the surface. Just a tip, bobbing about. So get Identity Guard. With superior protection tools and patented technologies, Identity Guard is a colossal identity theft protection iceberg. All this from the company that's protected over 20 million people. And that does not sound like something an iceberg tip could accomplish. So get Identity Guard and get real protection. Not just a free credit report tip.
Don't be a victim of online identity theft. Get Identity Guard. Serious 21st century stuff for 21st century crime. Sign up now and get the added security of your personal password protector, ID Vault. A $50 value. Free plus shipping and handling. Call 877-600-2669 now. That's 877-600-2669. Or visit identityguard.com.
You know how windy it can get here in Colorado, not to mention our rain, snow, hot sun. Why not get the most durable patio furniture you can find at Freehoff's Patio and Garden Center in Boulder? Hi, it's April Zesbaugh. April is heavy metal month at Freehoff's, which means they've got a ton of wrought iron and other metal tables and chairs on sale all month. All of their furniture has been tested and selected for our harsh climate here. Spelled Fruhoff's, pronounced Freehoff's, at 33rd and Arapahoe in Boulder. The quality and deals make it worth the drive from anywhere.
That's Jared!
Hi, I'm Jane Seymour. My mother used to say, always keep your heart open. It's the only way to give and receive love. Those words inspired my new Open Hearts jewelry collection.
And now, you are invited to see the Open Hearts by Jane Seymour jewelry collection at Jared, the Galleria of Jewelry. Priced from just under $50 to $1,300.
When your heart is open, love will always find its way in.
Find a Jared store or shop anytime at Jared.com.
.655, I'm David Sirota, filling in here for Jay Marvin on AM 760 Progressive Talk. It's Movie Friday. What's your favorite plague or outbreak movie? What'd you think of the debate between Mike Rosen and myself yesterday? And who do you think was right, Mark Udall or Michael Bennett, in this vote on cram down legislation? Everybody's got 20 seconds. We're going to get in all these calls if we can. Everyone's got 20 seconds, so make it brief. I got to get the national news in a few seconds. So here we go. Greg in Denver, you got 20 seconds. Greg.
Yeah, Charlton Heston and the Omega Man.
All right. Yes, that was mentioned earlier. Good.
That was one real good one.
Yep.
Little thing about Mike Rosen. Years ago, I used to listen to talk radio. He came in. I thought, what a kind of refreshing guy. He was talking to some guy sometime before the Olympics. It was right after the Olympics where people got killed and there was a security problem. And he called Greenpeace a terrorist organization. From that day on, I never listened to him again.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's, you know, when
that's what happens. Sometimes people can break their trust with you. That's for sure.
Exactly right. Well, listen, thanks.
Hey, thanks so much.
You bet.
All right, let's go to, let's see. Kip, you're on AM 760.
Yes. Yes, I thought you did a wonderful job against Mark Rosen. His tactics were very transparent to me, because what he would do is he would talk over you, and then when he got a chance to respond, he would go to break. I was really extremely shocked that he wasn't willing to even discuss.
He definitely had the home field advantage, if you will, because he was moderating.
That wasn't even just all of it. I mean, for example, how he lost his shirt in the as a direct result of deregulation, he wouldn't really engage you.
No, he wouldn't.
He would just say, that's fine, he broke the law, which was kind of irrelevant. It was like saying someone broke the law when they tailgated someone and never paying any attention.
Right,
there wasn't anyone checking people for the speed.
Exactly. You know? He didn't want to talk about enforcement. Hey, thanks for the call, Kip.
Yep.
All right, Dutch. Dutch in Westminster.
Yeah, David, I listened to part of the debate, and I got so mad because you kept cutting you off that I didn't finish it. Two, what was Ritter thinking of appointing this idiot Bennett?
That's the question. You got me. You got me.
You had a thing on a couple of days ago or last week about why Ritter's polling is down. This is one of them.
Yeah, that's for sure. Hey, thanks for the call.
Yeah, well, and one other thing that nobody's mentioned, the Andromeda strain.
The Andromeda strain, that's a good one. Hey, thanks for the call, Dutch.
All right.
All right. Dave in Littleton, real quick, go for it.
I just want to say yesterday was pretty good. I thought it was really funny that when you mentioned how Mike, you know, they came up with the typical Republican response, we have to do this now or the whole world's going to fall apart. He got pretty angry after you mentioned that.
Yeah, because that's the Republican tactic, right? I mean, we've got to do something.
It sounded like he listened to a couple of tapes of Rush Limbaugh before he decided to sit down and talk to you.
Well, there is, yeah, Rush is on their network. That's probably true. You got a movie, or you going to want to weigh in on this Udall Bennett thing?
Outbreak, I thought was a good one. And Michael Bennett, I think he's going to end up changing parties here.
It was a really, really disappointing, vote. Yeah. Hey, thanks for the call, man.
Yep.
Have a good one. All right. In the 7 a.m. hour, we're going to be talking about whether you think we should be spending $50 million on a NASCAR racetrack. We got a state representative who said we shouldn't, so stick around.
Thinking about starting a big home improvement project? Don't do it yourself. Trust a name that has more than 30 years experience. Hi, Tom Hartman here, and I want to talk to you about AAA Home Improvements. AAA is a full-service home improvement company specializing in pop-ups, additions, kitchens, and basements. They handle it all from start to finish, but don't take my word for it. Read what their satisfied customers have said at AAAHomeImprovements.com. AAA Home Improvements, 720-981-4269. 720-981-4269.
AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk. KKZN, Thornton, Denver, Boulder. On your iPhone, BlackBerry, and AM760.net.
CBS News, I'm Frank Sedapani. A member of the Supreme Court's liberal wing is calling it quits. David Souter will retire at the end of the current term in June. CBS News Chief Legal Analyst Andrew Cohen.
There were signs in this direction. The justice did not hire his new clerks for the next term, which usually happens by now. And, of course, the beginning of a new presidential term, especially one that brings in a new party, is a logical time for a change.
I'm Peter Mayer, live at the White House. President Obama's ultimate choice may not immediately change the court's ideological balance, but it will start to put his imprint on it. Last year on the campaign trail, candidate Obama talked up court nominees with real-world experience.
And what I want are people on the bench who have enough empathy, enough feeling for what ordinary people are going through, that they're not just in a bunch of abstractions up there.
Many court watchers believe Mr. Obama will name a woman to join Justice Ginsburg. He'll also face pressure to name the first Latin American to the court, Frank.
Immigration groups will be holding May Day rallies today from coast to coast. Organizers hope to have as many marchers as they have in the past, in spite of all the concern about the swine flu outbreak that began in Mexico. Migrant workers flocking across the border in search of summer jobs can expect more than the usual scrutiny. Live to CBS's Steve Caven.
Public health officials are visiting work sites, food lines, and churches along the border looking for these workers from Mexico.
We need to be sure they know how to deal with this flu.
Juan Manuel Moran of the United Farm Workers has medical vans out to screen workers and give them prevention tips. It's not easy. Many are scattered all over, most with no access to doctors or even running water to wash their hands. Frank?
At least two, maybe three workers at a Concord, New Hampshire hospital have suspected cases of the H1N1 swine flu. Britt Olson, who visited the hospital recently, says officials didn't seem to be taking appropriate precautions.
It would just make me feel better if they were questioning people to see if they had been out of the country or to see if they could give us any more information, and we didn't get anything.
Los Angeles police say DNA evidence has enabled them to arrest the serial killer who raped and murdered as many as 30 women as far back as the 1950s. The suspect is John Floyd Thomas Jr., a 72-year-old insurance adjuster. Earl Harry Hutchinson worked with Thomas.
Here was an individual that was always smiling, always very congenial, always very pleasant. Never at any time did I ever see or experience him lose his temper.
Detectives are poring over decades-old cold cases to see if Thompson was involved in other killings. NASA will do away with 900 manufacturing jobs over the next few months. CBS News space consultant Bill Harwood.
It's a tough thing whenever layoffs like this come around, and in this case, of course, they really signal the end of an era because it really points directly to the end of the shuttle program, which has been in operation now since the early 80s.
The first notices go out today, mostly to contractors that make shuttle fuel tanks and rocket boosters. This is CBS News.
Not long ago, using the internet meant waiting for a connection, for a page to load or a download to complete, and progress bars. Lots and lots of progress bars. Welcome to now. Equip your team with Sprint mobile broadband and instantly unleash the potential of the internet from almost anywhere. They pop a Sprint mobile broadband card into their laptops, and they're up and running right now. Checking emails from the lobby? Check. Uploading or downloading some mammoth files in the back of a cab? Done. And because only Sprint has the most dependable 3G network, your crew gets what's most important to them whenever they need it, practically instantaneously. Instant internet from virtually anywhere. Sprint. The Now Network. Get a free Ovation U760 by Novatel Wireless mobile broadband card for your entire business team. Visit sprint.com/free card. Dependable based on third-party drive tests on data performance for top 50 markets. Offer valid through 6609. Excludes taxes. May require credit approval. $36 activation. 2-year agreement and $200 early termination fee. Available for corporate liable accounts only. See store for coverage and other details.
Winning a PC is as easy as 345pc.com. 345pc.com.
I'm David Kao with an AM 760 local news update. Colorado health officials are waiting for test results to see if any more people here have the H1N1 or swine flu. They expect a handful of results, perhaps today. The federal government is assuring Colorado officials it will provide anything necessary to help combat the flu. Governor Ritter says the state's been planning its pandemic response for 7 years.
Planning we've done, the lessons that we've learned from planning exercises are allowing us to respond in a measured and appropriate way to the outbreak of H1N1 influenza in our state.
2 cases of that flu have been identified in Metro Denver, and both people are expected to be fine. A Colorado House committee has passed a bill requiring anyone arrested for a felony to submit a DNA sample. Currently, only people convicted of crimes must submit DNA. Sports: Rockies begin a series in San Francisco tonight. That's your AM 760 Progressive Talk News Update. I'm David Kao. Now Todd Parker with your AM 760 Progressive Traffic.
Not a bad start to this morning's commute. We're seeing some slowdowns in those usual spots, like eastbound 270 on that approach to Vasquez. Southbounders on I-25 coming out of Thornton and North Glen, you're feeling it. We're also seeing more cars on the eastbound side of the turnpike, just past Federal, but it's not too slow. Outside the city limits, kind of a busy ride. Got an accident on the southbound side of I-25 in the Loveland area. Patchy fog along I-70 near Floyd Hill and the foothills, as well as I-25 south of Castle Rock towards Monument Hill. I'm Todd Parker, AM 760, Progressive Talk.
DU's College of Professional and Continuing Studies offers master's degrees and bachelor's completion for working professionals, online or evenings. Classes start June 8th. Find more information at universitycollege.du.edu. That's universitycollege.du.edu.
Technology. Every once in a while, a revolutionary product comes along that changes everything.
Take it out of the future.
iPhone users now have a new way to make calls. Say hello to Skype for iPhone. Don't get too excited, though. As it turns out, you'll only be able to use this app when you're connected to the interwebs via Wi-Fi. Even so, it does promise the ability to make free Skype-to-Skype calls, Skype out support, and instant messaging with other users.
Inspector Gadget.
Bruno is Sacha Baron Cohen's highly anticipated follow-up to Borat. It's set for a July 10th release, but unless producers tone down some of the content, it could be slapped with a kiss of death NC-17 rating. Reports suggest there may be a little too much sexy time in the mockumentary about the flamboyant fashionista Bruno, which has already been praised by critics. Next year's Golden Globes will be televised live across the U.S. for the first time. Organizers say that time differences and leaked videos in the West Coast before the show has even aired meant that it makes more sense to just screen the show live across the country at the same time. 2010's nominations will be revealed on December 15th.
Mountain venues to host the Winter Olympics. The legislation would allow developers to use up to $50 million a year in future sales tax revenues to pay for building stadiums, museums, and arenas, just about anything that is aimed at attracting out-of-state tourists and the roads, sewers, and power lines needed for them. The Senate has already approved this bill, the state Senate, and the House approved an amended version Wednesday. The two must now be reconciled in a conference committee before the final vote. The bill, coming as it does in a session where lawmakers spent months scrambling to backfill budget holes, is called, quote, a special interest tax giveaway by critics, and proponents call it a needed boost for business and tourism. So our guest in this hour is Boulder Democratic Representative Jack Palmer. He has argued that the state can't afford to give away this kind of tax revenue, and we've asked him to come on and tell us why. Thanks for taking the time this morning.
Oh, you're welcome. Thanks for having me on.
So give us the crux of your opposition to this.
Oh, boy. I guess at this point the most basic reason I oppose it is because we're cutting $1 billion out of our budget. And one of the reasons we're doing it is because we've cut taxes over and over and over again to the point where we're flat broke. And at some point, somebody has to pay some taxes or we can't maintain the services that people expect from a state. And so I've felt that it's time to stop cutting taxes and start collecting the ones we have so that we can continue having things like higher education and K-12 and all the things that people expect.
Well, let me make the devil's advocate argument. And I agree with you, so I should state that for the audience. I agree with you. But the devil's advocate argument is, well, listen, the way to grow our economy is to build the tax base. And for better or for worse, we are forced, we as a state are forced into a competition with other states to attract business. And we are caught in this competition with other states to see who can throw more goodies at private corporations to get them to come here. And if they come here, then they create jobs. That creates economic activity, which creates tax revenue, which ultimately trickles through the economy. What say you to that argument?
We have the fifth lowest state and local tax burden in the country. In 1999 and 2000, we cut taxes 24 times, and that wiped out close to $1 billion worth of revenue. And we're still cutting taxes. At some point, you have to say that if we're going to have a state, we need to have some revenue so that we can operate it. Businesses say that one of the problems we have in Colorado is we don't invest enough in our infrastructure and we don't invest enough in schools. They don't complain about the level of taxes here. And in fact, most businesses, when they're making decisions on where to locate, don't make it based on tax policy. If you look at most businesses, taxes are a very, very small portion of their costs.
And as you said, they're decisional, their basis for deciding what state to be in. The data and surveys of business have long shown that. We're talking to Boulder State Representative Jack Palmer. He is opposing the bill in the state legislature that would devote up to $50 million, would give up to $50 million to private developers for projects that they say would attract or aim to attract tourists to the state. But isn't there wouldn't we be, if we don't do this, and again, just playing devil's advocate, wouldn't we be unilaterally disarming, right? There's this, we clearly have a really messed up situation in our country where states are basically forced to compete. They're forced to compete in this race to the bottom where we're competing with Wyoming and we're competing with New Mexico and we're competing with other states to try to attract businesses, and especially businesses that are mobile, that can decide wherever they want to be. You know, a lot of information sector businesses, they can, you know, because they can be anywhere, they can play one state off against the other. So if we don't pass subsidies like this, aren't we unilaterally disarming, and wouldn't that potentially hurt us?
Well, I don't believe so. I think there are certain cases where it makes sense for the government to invest in something. I think our investments in the new energy economy have really paid off because it helped us start a new industry. But one of the things companies look for, and I don't know if this applies to the NASCAR track, but they look for an educated workforce. So I think we're much better off educating people of Colorado so that we can tell companies, if you come here, you're going to have a ready workforce of people who can do the job you want done. Plus, once you invest in the people of Colorado, they can use those skills with anybody rather than just one entity. The other issue is we never look at costs. So, for instance, we're constantly measuring how many companies we can attract, how much revenue they bring in, but we don't look at the cost. And in some cases, I think we, for instance, this Regional Tourism Authority, which I think is essentially trying to attract a NASCAR track. And NASCAR, I think, has become kind of a package deal where you have some big box retailers and NASCAR as the attraction to bring in customers. We just passed a regressive fee on people registering their cars to pay for roads because we don't have enough money to maintain our highway system. That fee isn't even going to cover half the cost of what we need just to bring the system up to a reasonable level of maintenance and repair. If we're going to attract thousands of people, like NASCAR promises, from out of state, they're going to be driving from Utah and from New Mexico and Wyoming and Kansas. And that's going to put a lot of wear and tear on our highways, and that means somebody's going to have to pay to repair that. If this new entity isn't paying taxes, then, and by the way, the original proposal was that $50 million cap was a compromise to get the bill out of finance. originally it was there was no cap. If they're not paying their share, who pays for all that maintenance? And we never look at the costs of these things. We never say, wow, there's a cost to having somebody here. There's a cost to having this track here. We just look at what potential revenue we might get. And if we don't compare the two, we could wind up losing money on these things.
We're talking to State Representative Jack Palmer of Boulder. He is opposing this bill in the legislature to devote up to $50 million, hand that money over to developers in hopes that they will use it to build tourist-attracting facilities in the state. Here's another question for you. Well, first and foremost, why is this argument so powerful in the legislature? Why hasn't there been a bigger and stronger opposition, not only to this program, but other programs like it? Is the economic development, quote unquote, argument so powerful that it's just been unstoppable?
It is, for two reasons. One, we've really gotten ingrained in our way of thinking the idea that if we cut taxes, it increases revenue. And I've never seen it happen anywhere.
Well, I mean, that's the Laffer curve, right? That's the famous myth from Ronald Reagan, which was the idea, you know, it's been so debunked at the national level, even though conservatives invoke it.
Well, and even the economists who, not Laffer, but the real economists who were behind the concept have said over and over, we never said it would increase revenue. What we said is we wanted to shrink government. This will decrease revenue, but cutting taxes might stimulate enough economic activity that the decrease in revenue is not as much as some people forecast. So really,
it's partially offset.
Exactly. So there was never any, and our economists, by the way, do throw that into their equation. So if we cut taxes, they might say, well, we're going to lose $1 million in revenue potentially, but we're going to put it at $900,000 because it might generate a little economic stimulus. But the second problem is, and it reminds me so much of a couple of years ago, if you wanted to kill something, all you had to do was say it will embolden terrorists. And if you wanted to pass something, you just said it increased homeland security. And here, I think in this economy, where we really do want to create as many jobs as we possibly can, if you say this will increase jobs, it's very, very hard for people to oppose it.
Right.
But we never really look at the quality of jobs. We never look at the potential those jobs will be long term. And we really discount the possibility that we can create jobs without these. If you look at our overall, you know, we have a huge variation in the number of jobs from month to month. So if you see something in the paper that says we lost 5,000 jobs, well, we actually probably had turnover of tens of thousands of jobs. The net was a loss of 5. We don't really take that into consideration, and we look for this marginal increase, and we always assume that it has to be paid for through either taxes. I think other states can pay cash. We can't because we don't have any revenue, so we can't pay cash, so we do it through tax cuts. All right, we had a committee this fall and into the session looking into jobs and economic growth. And it was fascinating. Their final report said that Colorado has a very low tax scheme, fifth lowest in the country. We have very few regulations, which businesses often like. It said that we're criticized mostly for lack of investment in education and in our infrastructure. And it said that we need to invest more if we're going to attract businesses. Most businesses don't make decisions based on taxes. And then the recommendations included something like 10 tax cuts.
Yeah, it's incredible. We're talking to State Representative Jack Palmer of Boulder about his opposition to the bill that would give $50 million in tax breaks, tax subsidies to developers to build tourist-attracting, or what they say would be tourist-attracting, facilities in the state. Okay, last question. Under this bill, do taxpayers get any kind of equity in anything that we're funding? I mean, this is an important question in the era of bailouts when we've seen trillions of our dollars, taxpayers' dollars, given to banks, and we've gotten, technically we've gotten some ownership stake, although it's been much more limited than many people would like, and there's been no strings attached. I mean, we've gotten some non-voting shares of stock, for instance, but we have very, very little leverage. So,
In the era of bailouts, my question is whether this bill gives taxpayers any kind of actual stake in what we may be funding.
No. Would we wind up owning AIG when this is over?
Oh, not owning AIG, but would we have some kind of, it's not just we're just going to give this money away. Maybe we'd get control over something, or maybe we'd get a say over something, or maybe we'd have, you know, sometimes there's been proposals when you build a stadium, we get a share, some kind of share of the gate. Is there, and do we get anything?
No, and by the way, when we finance the stadiums, we get no share of
right. Well, I'm saying is that some proposals have been made. Right.
No, we get nothing, although we could possibly wind up with a heck of a lot of debt as a result of this. There's a financing entity here, and usually with these things, we go in saying, well, we're never responsible for this, but in the end we say, well, if they were to go bankrupt, nobody would ever invest in Colorado again. So we could wind up owning some debt, but nothing tangible. And you know, but the point I think we really have to make is we do best when we help create businesses, we help create industries that give people career opportunities, not just a job, you know, selling hot dogs or something like that. I mean, we need those jobs, but we should really be investing in the kind of jobs that create career opportunities. If you look at some of the biggest employers in Colorado, in Boulder we have Amgen, we have Ball Aerospace. These were literally created in our universities, and those are long-term investments in Colorado that create high-paying jobs that come with benefits, and that's what I think we have to focus on. And when we do that, we can focus on investing in the people of Colorado so that we're educated, we have skills that will attract companies, but they're also transferable. We're not putting all of our eggs in the basket of, say, a Speedway. If we have a Speedway and then somebody builds one in
right.
Well, there's already one in Kansas, but
right.
builds one in New Mexico, suddenly we might lose part of our market. If we invest in the people, if we invest in industries that we think are going to pay off in the long term, I think we do much better than giving away tax money for specific projects, especially some that, you know, this whole thing is kind of a package deal. And I guess the other thing I worry about is, so when this comes in with its Furniture Mart, its Cabela's, and all of these, you know, big box, they call them category killer retailers,
mm-hmm.
we wind up driving out of business a lot of stores that are paying taxes.
Right.
And then transferring that business to stores that essentially aren't paying taxes.
And that's such an important point, is that when you do that, when you pass these kinds of special tax breaks, I don't want to say you punish, but you definitely tilt the scales in favor of businesses who aren't paying taxes or don't want to pay as many taxes as businesses that are already here that are playing by the rules that we've already set up. State Representative Jack Palmer of Boulder, thank you so much for taking the time this morning, and please keep us informed about what's going on this bill.
And please keep us informed about everything that's going on around us. Thank you very much for having me.
Thanks, Jack. That was State Representative Jack Palmer from Boulder. He is opposing this bill in the legislature to hand over $50 million to developers to build stuff like a new NASCAR stadium, a new home for the National Western Stock Show. So the question is, what do you think? Do you think our state needs to be spending some of its money, even in a budget crisis, trying to attract business, and by that I mean spending it on direct subsidies, handing over money to corporations as an incentive to come to Colorado? Do you think we need to be doing that? We've got open phones, 303-713-7600. Also, remember, Movie Friday. So if you've got a movie, the theme of the day is movies about outbreaks or diseases, stuff like the Andromeda strain, the movie Outbreak. We're doing that, obviously, because of the swine flu panic. 303-713-7600. Should our state legislature be spending tens of millions of dollars of future sales tax revenues to build stadiums, museums, arenas? The proposal, this specific proposal might build facilities to host a potential Winter Olympics. What do you think? 303-713-7600. Is that a good use of your taxpayer dollars?
I'm on the fence on this one, Dave.
You're on the fence.
Yeah. When the New Deal came down, FDR, that's how we got Red Rocks. You know?
That's true.
And I wouldn't mind seeing the Olympics come to Colorado.
That's true, although I don't know the history of Red Rocks completely, but
I don't know if it was corporate dollars.
Do we still own it? Or is it all private?
I believe it belongs to the city of Denver.
Do they pay taxes? Well, then does Denver get tax revenues from it?
I'm not sure.
Do they probably? My guess is, I'm not sure here, my guess is they probably lease it to private people to use it. That's what happens.
Yeah.
We're talking right now about literally handing over the money to developers. So I'm all for, you know, ways of leveraging taxpayer money so that we get some kind of residual benefit in the future. My problem is simply saying, all right, here's the money, see you later. And
right.
if you can make a huge amount of money off it, if you make lots of money, you get to pocket all of it. We, the taxpayers, get nothing from it.
Right. No, it's one of those ones where I'm kind of sitting on the fence and you want to see how it shakes out and where that, all that money would go to.
Yeah, well, that's
I
the other...
I can do it without the National Western Stock Show.
Yeah, well, that's the question. What are the controls on this?
Right.
Who chooses where this goes? That's exactly right. All right. Let's get traffic.
All right. We got to do have a crash southbound I-25 in the Loveland area, but that's our only glitch in the metro, and it's not really in the Denver metro. Our only accident right now on the board. Do see some heavier jams now building on C-470 in Highlands Ranch, Broadway to Quebec, a slow stretch also on eastbound 270 approaching Vasquez from I-25. On southbound I-25, normal heavy spots too in North Glenn at 104th Avenue, also downtown after 38th. Also checking patchy fog on I-70 near Floyd Hill and on I-25 near Monument Hill. Forecast, mostly cloudy and cooler, isolated rain showers and high of 53. Right now, 42 in Denver. John Turk, AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Paulino Gardens, growers of the finest vegetable and bedding plants, welcomes you to their beautiful garden. It's spring, and you'll save a ton of green at The Lumber Guy. New inventories arriving every week. You'll find something for every home improvement or new building project, no matter what the size. The Lumber Guy has the best prices in the area on dimensional lumber, windows, trim, doors, and more. Visit The Lumber Guy today and start saving. They're easy to find at East 50th in Washington. From I-70, go north on Washington, turn right at 50th. Call The Lumber Guy at 303-979-8823 or log on to thelumberguy.net. If the Lumber Guy has it, you will save.
Hi, this is Tom Harbin. Would you like to learn to play the piano within 8 weeks? Well, now you can with the unique technique, accelerated piano method at Pianos and Pianos Teaching Facility. This course is half the price of private lessons. With the unique technique method, you'll be playing exciting selections of songs with both hands in just 8 weeks. Pianos and Pianos, a proud sponsor of AM 760. Call 303-933-9390. That's 303-933-9390.
Windy it can get here in Colorado, not to mention our rain, snow, hot sun. Why not get the most durable patio furniture you can find at Freehoff's Patio and Garden Center in Boulder? Hi, it's April Zesbaugh. April is heavy metal month at Freehoff's, which means they've got a ton of wrought iron and other metal tables and chairs on sale all month. All of their furniture has been tested and selected for our harsh climate here. Spelled Freehoff's, pronounced Freehoff's, at 33rd and Arapahoe in Boulder. The quality and deals make it worth the drive from anywhere.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome,
we are live
for the world premiere
and
show buzz.
The movie industry is all a Twitter about rumors of a big screen return for Tom and Jerry. If true, they would be following in the live-action footsteps of fellow Hanna-Barbera character Scooby-Doo. According to reports, the new Tom and Jerry movie will focus on how the two characters met and the reasons behind their subsequent rivalry.
Show buzz.
Pieces for your yard. Old Santa Fe Pottery, 2485 South Santa Fe Drive, just south of Evans.
This is Tom Harbin. Join me in AM 760 at the Denver Green Festival, May 2nd and 3rd at the Colorado Convention Center. Find out how neighbors, community nonprofits, and city departments are working together to make Denver a healthier, greener place to live.
I am green today.
I'll be giving a keynote talk on May 2nd, so be sure to stop by. It's the Denver Green Festival with me, Tom Harbin, and AM 760 Colorado's Progressive Talk. Details are at am760.net.
728, I'm David Sirota, filling in for Jay Marvin here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. 303-713-7600. Do you think Colorado should spend $50 million handing that money over to developers to build things like a NASCAR stadium, National Western Stock Show, home, potential mountain venues for the Winter Olympics? State Representative Jack Palmer of Boulder notes that we will not have any ownership stake over any of this stuff if we give this money away. Our benefit is supposed to be just the economic development it would create. So what do you think? 303-713-7600. It's also Movie Friday, so give us your favorite movie about an outbreak, a disease outbreak. I like Children of Men. That's a really, really dark and scary movie, but it's very, very good. William in Denver, you're on AM 760.
Yeah, I was just, first, the movie you just mentioned, I like that. It is very kind of a dark movie.
Very dark.
But I just wanted to call because I don't necessarily agree with the state representative Palmer. I truly believe that this would actually be a great benefit to immediately creating jobs of, you know, the working force people. You got blue collar workers, and that is going to put money back into the economy. You're going to need people to build these places. You're going to need people to maintain these places, to run the events at these places. And it is going to be attractive, you know, for others to come here. I mean, the National Western Stock Show, stock car racing, Olympics, those are all pretty prominent, you know, sporting events, things that people will go to and things that people will travel to. And I think it would be great because we're going to get jobs in here. And his argument of, well, you know, the type of jobs and temporary, that's not necessarily true because we have a foundation of a very blue collar place. I mean, not everybody is going to be, you know, a long term career white collar.
But what about the concept? What about the idea that if taxpayers spend money, we deserve some kind of stake in what we're spending money on, rather than simply giving it away
on your iPhone, BlackBerry, and AM760.net.
Supreme Court Justice Souter retires.
I don't think we're going to see a material shift in the philosophy of the court.
Swine flu cases increase in the U.S.
There is no need for panic.
And the Chrysler bankruptcy begins.
The management of Chrysler is going to be completely restructured here.
Good morning, I'm Nick Young with the CBS World News Roundup. He took his place on the nation's highest court during the administration of President George H.W. Bush.
The president's nomination and the Senate's confirmation are...
Now Justice David Souter says he intends to step down next month, and it gives President Obama an early opportunity to put his stamp on the court. Let's go live to the White House and CBS News correspondent Peter Mayer.
Right, Nick, and making his first high court choice will be a major moment for the former constitutional law professor in the Oval Office. On the campaign trail, candidate Obama outlined this view.
Part of the role of the court is to look out for the people who don't have political power, the people who are on the outside, the people who aren't represented, the people who don't have a lot of money, who don't have connections.
Many court observers believe Mr. Obama will name a second woman to join Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg. He has insisted he opposes a litmus test on the hot-button abortion issue, but he also campaigned on this standard.
Judges who will uphold the core values of our Constitution, that's why I won't back down when it comes to defending the freedom of women.
As for his judicial ideal, Mr. Obama has praised none other than Justice Souter's non-ideological approach. Live at the White House, Peter Mayer, CBS News.
So the week is drawing to a close with swine flu, known by its scientific name as H1N1, still very much on the minds of public health officials around the world. In this country, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention says 130 cases of the disease have been confirmed. In Mexico, the epicenter of the outbreak, CBS's Adrian Bard reports there are signs fears may be easing a bit as the number of new cases and deaths has leveled off.
There seems to be more traffic in Mexico City than in recent days. Perhaps people are starting to feel a little more confident about the situation in their country. You see people coming out of the subway. Many are still wearing masks, but some are not wearing masks anymore. And just waiting to see if this thing is going to blow over.
In this country, are all the states prepared for a full-blown flu pandemic? We're live with CBS News correspondent Steve Kathan.
The simple answer seems to be no.
We have already stockpiled in our state antiviral medication.
Maryland's governor's confident there's enough medicine for this outbreak, but the Washington Post says Maryland is one of several states to fall short of federal standards for stockpiles to handle a major health crisis.
The federal government has nearly 50
million treatment courses.
Health Secretary Kathleen Sebelius, with that federal goal being met, states are still millions of doses short, and some have no stockpile at all. Nick?
Amid fears over the H1N1 flu, there is also criticism that the media and officials have overreacted. Hundreds of schools across the country have been closed. Nearly 900,000 students in Fort Worth, Texas, have been put out of their classrooms for 2 weeks. But parent Whitney Brown says it's better to err on the side of caution.
I don't know if anyone wants to come out and say we're severely overreacting and then something tragic happens to a child.
At today's Northeastern University commencement ceremonies in Boston, officials are paying attention to warnings about how the flu can be transmitted. University spokesman Mike Armini.
After consulting with public health officials, we made a decision to let our graduates know that we would not have the traditional handshake when they receive their diploma.
In Comal County, Texas, the Reverend Brad McLean is shortening services at First Baptist Church this weekend.
I don't think that Walmart's going to be closed, so I don't believe we need to close the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ either.
Bud McLean says he will encourage knuckle bumps instead of the usual handshake between parishioners. Time on the roundup is 4 minutes past the hour.
I'm David Kao with an AM 760 local news update. Two confirmed cases of H1N1 or swine flu in Colorado. A woman who took a cruise to Mexico and then spent several days in San Diego, and a male baggage handler at DIA. Dr. Ned Kalange with the State Health Department believes more cases are ahead.
The situation continues to revolve and evolve rapidly. We're asking people to be on alert for changes in our guidance and our instructions as we learn more.
The woman recovered without going to the hospital. The man should be released from the hospital today. Colorado health officials waiting for test results on more people. Unionized workers at Safeway's meat warehouse in Denver have voted to authorize a strike if a new labor contract isn't reached by the time the existing one expires on May 9th. United Food and Commercial Workers say the grocery chain hasn't relented on proposed cuts in pension benefits and a wage freeze for two-thirds of workers. The warehouse contract covers 31 employees. And another sign of the times, the Denver Post reducing circulation outside the Front Range. Beginning next week, the Post will cut back Monday through Saturday distribution and by July won't deliver to the far western slope, eastern Colorado, or surrounding states. The Sunday Denver Post circulation will continue as is. Sports, Rockies begin a series in San Francisco tonight. That's your AM 760 Progressive Talk News Update. I'm David Kao. Now Todd Parker with your AM 760 Progressive Traffic.
CDOT crews have wrapped up their overnight construction projects. Those won't get in your way, and we've got no crashes or stalls either. Outside the metro area, however, watch out for areas of patchy fog along I-25 south of Castle Rock towards Monument Hill. We're also seeing very foggy conditions in the foothills along I-70. I'm Todd Parker, AM 760, Progressive Talk.
You work hard for your money. You should use a product that works hard for you. Pick up a bag of Colorado-made organic-based Pro-Rich Turf Food by Richlon.
The winner of American Idol.
You are addicted.
American audiences could soon be dancing with the Idol, as former Idol winner Ruben Studdard announces that he's keen to compete on Dancing with the Stars. The Season 2 winner recently revealed that he thinks it's a wonderful show and that he would love to be a part of it. Studdard is currently touring with the Ain't Misbehavin' Anniversary Tour, and his new album hits stores on May 19th.
Reality TV Rundown.
Every once in a while, a revolutionary product comes along that changes everything.
Take it out of the future.
The recently released Amazon Kindle 2 has a couple of new buttons, the iPhone and iPod Touch. A new app has just been pushed out through Apple's App Store, which allows users to read the exact same Kindle content with their Apple devices. It doesn't end there, though, as shared features include the ability to sync bookmarks, buy new content, and more.
Inspector Gadget.
Every once in a while, a revolutionary product comes along that changes everything.
Take it out of the future.
Looking for a new companion to keep track of the time and the number of calories you're burning? You need to check out the latest additions to Garmin's Forerunner range of watches, including the 310 XT, which features a robust exterior, is waterproof to 50 meters, boasts improved calorie counting accuracy, and also has GPS and wireless connectivity capabilities.
Inspector Gadget.
Curious. I always like to know if I did us right, because that's what it was all about. I was not just representing me. I was representing, hopefully, many of us in this fight against extreme conservatism. If you haven't heard the debate between me and Mike Rosen, I think you'll enjoy it. A lot of people told me, some people that didn't agree with me on the issues, they thought it made for good radio. So if you haven't heard it, go to www.am760.net and listen to it. And you can download the podcast, and you can vote on who you think won. So far, the voting's actually, well, according to the vote, I'm ahead. So more people, but, you know, who knows if they...
According to Colorado polls, it says Bludgeons Rosen. Sirota Bludgeons Rosen headline.
Yeah. I had nothing to do with that story, I swear. So I'll just let you make the call. Go on to www.am760.net for that. Okay, we're going to do a news rundown. There's a ton of news, so now for our 6 a.m. news rundown.
Good evening. I'm Ron Burgundy, and this is what's happening in your world tonight.
Big news. Remember yesterday's story about Cramdown, this thing where this bill to allow homeowners, if they're in bankruptcy, to have bankruptcy judges consider renegotiating the terms of their loans? Yeah, the bill failed yesterday in the Senate. Only 45 Democrats voted for it. So much for the idea that Arlen Specter's change means Democrats are going to be able to pass basic legislation. Here is the local angle, because we always do local news first. Mark Udall voted for the bill. Good on you, Mark. Michael Bennett, our appointed U.S. Senator, did not vote for it. He voted against it. He was one of 12 conservative Democrats to vote with the banks and against homeowners. Dick Durbin, the lead sponsor of that bill, said, quote, "The banks own this place." And one of the people that they obviously own in the place is Michael Bennett. That's right. Michael Bennett voted with the banks and against homeowners, against giving regular people the same privileges in bankruptcy courts that millionaires have when it comes to their beach homes. Remember, the key on this issue, folks, is the fact that a bankruptcy judge is empowered to write down the mortgages on vacation homes and investment properties, which of course are disproportionately owned by rich people, but they're not allowed to write down the mortgages of primary residences, that is, the homes of most of us. And Michael Bennett sided with the banks. All Republicans and 12 Democrats, including Michael Bennett, voted against Cramdown, killing it. Some more bad news, unfortunately. In the state legislature, the effort to do away with the Electoral College here in Colorado is over for the year. The bill, the National Popular Vote bill being carried by Chris Romer, was tabled. It had passed the state house, but it failed in the Senate. So much for democracy. Some good news. The Colorado Senate passed a bill to toughen Colorado's seatbelt law on Thursday, sending it to the House. The Senate voted 20-15 to back the bill, with all Republicans, you know, with all Republicans and one Democrat voting against it. I mean, it passed, but you know who the one Democrat voting against it was? Morgan Carroll. I mean, what is up with her? She's usually been so good. What is going on? Morgan, you're making it hard to be a fan of yours lately. AP story. Conservationists say livestock grazing poses a threat to a wide variety of fish and other wildlife across more than three-fourths of their dwindling habitats on federal land in the West. Using satellite mapping and federal records, Wild Earth Guardians began a study last year matching wildlife habitat and grazing allotments across more than 260 million acres of federal land in the West. And the conclusions of the study were not encouraging. As we reported yesterday, Colorado legislators are moving closer to approving a $50 million tax break that could lead to the construction of a stock car racetrack. And a new home for the National Western Stock Show, and mountain venues to host the Winter Olympics. Sounds to me like corporate welfare. And in the 7 a.m. hour, we're going to talk to Jack Palmer, state representative who is opposing this bill. National news. The big A1 story is Justice David Souter is planning to retire from the Supreme Court at the end of his term, so President Obama will have a choice of a new justice soon. Chrysler files to seek bankruptcy protection. And President Obama went off on hedge funds, saying they were unnecessarily inflexible in negotiating this. Some hedge funds are the creditors for Chrysler. I find it somewhat shocking that President Obama is railing on hedge funds, considering he has refused so far to get tough with hedge funds and the financial industry in general when it comes to the bailouts. As I mentioned, Senate Majority Whip Dick Durbin of Illinois is going off on his colleagues, saying that they are basically bought off by the banking industry after this cram down vote. And interestingly, some Democrats are saying that the White House refused to push this bill as vigorously as necessary, even though President Obama publicly, officially supported it. Quote, "I cannot tell that President Obama has used his powers on this issue," said Representative Brad Miller, a Democrat from North Carolina, who worked with Durbin on the bill. Another supporter, Senate Banking Committee Chairman Chris Dodd, said the Obama administration showed some ambivalence. "The administration said they were for it. I wouldn't expect much more." And Dodd goes on to say that the White House just didn't push as hard as it needed to push. And the Hill newspaper notes that newly minted Democratic Senator Arlen Specter has cast his second straight vote against his new party's agenda. So, for all the hype, Arlen Specter's change of parties hasn't meant much of anything. And that's the subject of my column today in the Denver Post and all throughout Colorado in the Fort Collins, Coloradan, and in papers across the state. It's about Specter. I encourage you to go read it. The good news, the Senate next week will take up a measure to increase consumer protections for credit card holders, even though Senate Democratic leaders acknowledge that they are unsure if they have the votes to ward off a filibuster. So they're pushing that forward. That's good. Some science and cultural news. When you hook a fish, does it hurt? A new study suggests yes. In the new study, researchers gave morphine to one group of fish and injected the other group with a placebo. The fish were treated to burning sensations that were expected to be painful, but which did not damage any tissue. Both groups reacted the same. However, the fish that had been on morphine later went about its business as if nothing had happened. The fish that had gotten the saline, the placebo, were wary after the test. So, and I do some fly fishing, and so this bothers me that they're finding out that fish feel pain. Because, you know, you catch and release. And you tell yourself that it doesn't really hurt them. From the Ottawa Citizen, experts studying pandemics such as the swine flu have long been stymied by computer models that lacked one critical variable, free will. Subjects in a computer model only do what the program tells them to do, not what they necessarily want them to do. So where would a self-respecting expert find a model that is more like the real world? Well, in the virtual world, of course, in the online society created by the video game World of Warcraft. Researchers in Canada and around the world are using the lessons learned from a virtual plague that tore through World of Warcraft's community for years, 4 years ago, to better prepare for the mass quarantines that could be part of a full pandemic. It's interesting. It's really interesting. Wired Magazine. This is cool. Seth MacFarlane is making official plans for a Family Guy movie. That's pretty sweet. And I also read yesterday that Matthew McConaughey is talking to Richard Linklater about doing a second Dazed and Confused. Would be cooler if they did. And our final story here from the news rundown. From the AP, police in northwestern Pennsylvania, I love this story. Police in northwestern Pennsylvania say a burglar took some jelly beans from a home, but nothing else. Police said Thursday that they're stumped by the burglary in Northeast Township. Sergeant Mark Zaleski said it remains unclear whether the suspect wanted only jelly beans, or maybe that's all the thief had time to grab. Police said the burglar broke a front door window and took the jelly beans from a dining room table. And the homeowner reported that nothing else was missing or even moved. That kind of reminds me of that scene, one of my favorite scenes from the movie The Golden Child. Remember this scene? We got the audio on it. When Eddie Murphy is breaking, he's going to break into a house, and he's walking through somebody else's house, and here's what he says.
I'm not going to hurt anybody. I don't want no trouble. No trouble. I just want some chips. I want some chips, that's all. All I want some chips. See? Chips, that's it. Turn that over, man, it's burning. It's burning, turn it over, it's burning. I just want some chips.
He just wanted some jelly beans. The burglar just wanted some jelly beans. So that's our news rundown for you.
I'm Ron Burgundy. You stay classy, San Diego.
So today is Movie Friday. We'll throw out the movie question of the day. What's your favorite movie? What do you think the scariest or best movie about disease outbreak is? There's the movie Outbreak. There's a couple other movies I'll give you on the other end of the break. It's a good story in Salon about a bunch of movies about movie outbreaks. So if you call up, make sure to have a movie outbreak for you, for us, for Movie Friday. A movie about diseases, about outbreaks, anything in that genre. And in the question of the hour, well, I'll save it for the break. You'll have to listen till after the break. So start thinking about Movie Friday and your favorite outbreak movie. And after this break, I'll throw out the first question of the day that we're going to discuss here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. I'm David Sirota, filling in for J. Marvin. Oh, yeah, and when you call up, let us know what you thought about the Mike Rosen debate. Did you like the programming? Did you like the debate? Who do you think won? Stick around. 303-713-7600. I'm David Sirota, filling in here for J. Marvin. 39 degrees in Denver, going up to 52. Rain in the forecast. Let's go to John Turk with traffic.
Good morning, David. Traffic always a little lighter on Fridays than the rest of the week, and this morning looks like no exception. Southbound I-25 is starting to build for us in the usual spots, but speed's still pretty decent there in North Glen, 104 to 84th. You will tap the brakes also near downtown after 38th Ave. Southbound 225 also building around Colfax. No problems as you're approaching the tech center yet. Westbound 76 also starting to fill in there from 74th Avenue down to 270. Patchy fog on I-70 near Floyd Hill. Same deal on I-25 near Monument Hill. Your forecast, cloudy with pretty good chance for rain showers. Highs should be in the lower 50s. Right now, 42 degrees in Denver. John Turk, AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Choice is a good thing, especially at...
REI asks, just how great can the great outdoors be? Find out at the REI Anniversary Sale, our biggest sale of the year. Gear up for summer and save up to 30% on select camping, hiking, cycling, and paddling gear. Plus, REI members can save 20% on one item. Not a member? Then it's the perfect time to join, May 1st through May 10th. Stop by your local REI retailer or shop REI.com. REI. Find out. Offer applies to one full-price item. Exclusions apply.
Hi, Tom Harbin here to tell you about Lauer's Hardwoods. Want to save money, help the environment, and improve the look of your home? Buy Beetle Kill Wood Products. Lauer's Hardwoods carries Beetle Kill pine flooring, paneling, trim, siding, 2x4s, and logs. It's beautiful, cheaper to buy, and helps Colorado forests. Visit their showroom in Lakewood or their booth at the Denver Green Festival. Mention this ad and receive 10% off your purchase. For details, call 303-205-WOOD or LowersHardwoods.com.
Santa Fe Pottery has all the touches you need to make your yard a special place to be. Their spring sale is going on now. Hurry in for the best selection on a wide variety of planters, pots, sunfaces, chimeneas, and more. For the first time ever, Old Santa Fe Pottery is taking 20% off their glazed outdoor pottery. During the spring sale, all Mexican outdoor pottery is 30% off. Old Santa Fe Pottery spring sale. You'll find savings and selection on the perfect pieces for your yard. Old Santa Fe Pottery, 2485 South Santa Fe Drive, just south of Evans.
This is John Elway. I could have gone anywhere for LASIK, but I selected Icon LASIK right here in Denver. Icon has performed over 65,000 LASIK surgeries in Colorado using the latest custom laser technology. And Icon makes LASIK more affordable starting at $4.99 per eye. Schedule your free LASIK consultation today at 720-524-1001 or visit iconlasik.com. That's 720-524-1001. And tell them John sent you.
How windy it can get here in Colorado, not to mention our rain, snow, hot sun. Why not get the most durable patio furniture you can find at Freehoff's Patio and Garden Center in Boulder? Hi, it's April Zesbaugh. April is heavy metal month at Freehoff's, which means they've got a ton of wrought iron and other metal tables and chairs on sale all month. All of their furniture has been tested and selected for our harsh climate here. Spelled Freehoff's, pronounced Freehoff's, at 33rd and Arapahoe in Boulder. The quality and deals make it worth the drive from anywhere.
1-800-7094. 1-800-700-7094.
-39 degrees on the Front Range, cloudy. God, the schedule of rain and sun around here is not coordinating properly with the weekend. All I wanted to do this weekend was like be outside, get out of the city, and it's going to be cold and rainy. 39 degrees here, going up to 52. Rain in the forecast tomorrow, high of 48 predicted with rain in the forecast. Sunday a little better. All right, so Movie Friday. Attack of the Killer Plague Movies. There's a great article on Salon.com. And so when you call up, give us your favorite plague movies, disease movies, plague movies, in obviously in memorial or in light of the swine flu panic. A couple movies that the Salon.com lists in that genre. Children of Men. That's a great, great movie. It's about a disease that hits the world where women can't have children anymore. It's a really, really dark movie. So on list, Blindness, I Am Legend, Diary of the Dead. Oh, and obviously this is a creepy one. 28 Weeks Later and 28 Days Later. That's a crazy movie. Other movies, older movies, The Omega Man, The Last Man on Earth, Resident Evil. I remember Outbreak with Dustin Hoffman. Pretty bad movie, actually. So what's your favorite outbreak or plague movie? And also when you call up 303-713-7600, give us your take on the debate yesterday, my debate with Mike Rosen. Did you enjoy the debate? Who do you think won? Did you learn anything? 303-713-7600. And then the more serious topic, who do you think was right in yesterday's vote? Yesterday the Senate voted down the bill to allow bankruptcy judges to reduce or renegotiate the terms of mortgages so as to prevent homeowners from being foreclosed on. 8 million Americans are on the brink, roughly 8 million are near or in the foreclosure zone. And so who do you think was right? Do you think Senator Mark Udall was right to vote for the cram-down legislation? He voted with 44 other Democrats to give bankruptcy judges this power. Or do you think Michael Bennett was right? Michael Bennett, the appointed senator, voted with the entire Republican Party and 11 Democrats with the banking industry and against this cram-down legislation. Who do you think was right, Udall or Bennett? 303-713-7600. Again, 303-713-7600. Let's go to the phones. Joanne in Denver, you're on AM 760.
Hi, you actually said it, and I didn't think anyone would even think about it. 28 Days Later,
yeah,
awesome.
Yeah, it's a scary movie.
It is, but it's very realistic, and I think, and since it's European, it's just a little out there. Very realistic, though. Makes you wonder.
I've only seen pieces of it because it's when it's come on, I've fired it up, and then my wife sits down, and it's like we're not really allowed to watch that in our house.
Yeah, it's, you know, and that's the thing is, if anyone were to even just ask me what is my all-time favorite movie, that's it. And actually, the vice president of our company always asks a trick question, and that's my answer. And he just looked at me kind of sideways like, when did I get that from you?
28 Days Later is your favorite movie.
Favorite all-time movie.
Wow.
I kid you not. It's because it's so realistic. It's so possible. It's so fiction, but yet could be nonfiction.
All right, you've convinced me. I'm gonna rent it or something. I'm gonna watch it.
Seriously, it's just an awesome movie. And if you get it on DVD, because I obviously own it now, what I really liked about it is the fact that they put all the endings on it.
Oh, cool. You mean like possible endings?
Well, yes, because when they tested it with audiences, you know, the audiences had to decide how they would want
it
to end. And I'm not going to blow it for you because they did give you the opportunity to have all the different scenarios.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, good.
And I'm like a really nice, happy-go-lucky person. But
okay,
I like
all right, good.
Scenario.
Yeah, so you're not like a super dark person.
Oh, God, no. I am such a sweetheart. That's why I think that the VP was just like, oh, okay, that's a little bizarre.
All right, Joanne.
You have to have that dark side. But as far as the U-Doll thing.
Yeah, what do you think?
Yeah, U-Doll. U-Doll was right. And here's the thing. I pay my mortgage. I have a whole bunch of credit card debt. I'm living the American dream is how I see it. And you know what? I would want to help my fellow Americans, not in the sense that, it's coming out of my taxpayer dollars or what have you, but, you know, if someone's filing bankruptcy, there's a reason. They've lost a job, they've had medical expenses. We shouldn't judge them, but a judge can, you know.
I'm glad that you mentioned that, because we didn't get that point in yesterday. You know, there's a study out there by Harvard University that by far the most, the reason for most people filing bankruptcy is medical debt. Mm-hmm. Or loss of a job. So the whole idea that people go into bankruptcy because they've made, you know, irresponsible choices. Now, obviously, there are people who have made irresponsible choices. But you listen to the Republican rhetoric around this, especially around the bankruptcy bill a couple of years ago. And they came up with this, like, updated welfare queen idea. Like, oh, mm-hmm. you know, people are driving around luxury cars and they're living the good life. And they made those bad choices. And that's why they're in bankruptcy. Well, it's somewhere, if I remember correctly, I think it's about 3/4 of bankruptcies have to do with medical debt or losing a job. So not exactly, you know, people living the high life.
Exactly. And that's why, you know, I've made, you know, the right decisions, and some of them have also. It's just life, you know, handed them a lemon and we need to help them out. You know, it's not, they didn't do it to themselves, not all of them. Sure, and, you know, there's going to be a few bad apples in every seed. I mean, look at the Democrats. Hello.
Right.
Not everyone's going to vote the same. Not everyone's going to believe in the same thing. And not everyone's going to file bankruptcy for the right reasons.
That's exactly right. Hey, thanks for the call.
You bet. Have a good one.
You too. I'm David Sirota filling in for Jay Marvin on AM 760 Progressive Talk, 303-713-7600. Give us your thoughts on the debate, yesterday's debate between me and Mike Rosen. And give us your favorite disease or plague movie. This is Movie Friday. And tell us who you think was right, Mark Udall for voting for this cram down legislation yesterday, or Michael Bennett, who voted with the banks and against the cram down legislation? Danny in Denver, what do you think?
Hey, David, you the man.
Thanks, man.
Yeah, how's it going?
Good.
Hey, listen, I don't have a movie. You know, I've listened to you, do this Movie Friday, and I've had an opinion on almost all of them except this one. I can't think of a disease or outbreak movie that.
Have you seen Children of Men?
No, only one I could think that I've seen is Outbreak.
Outbreak. That's an okay movie. It's like, it's a little cheesy.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
I can't say it's my favorite, you know, movie. I know I've seen others. I just can't think of it.
Yeah. Well, there's, you know, the 28 Days. 28 Weeks Later, Children of Men. There's a bunch out there, and I'm sure I'm not thinking of many. And I bet you people are going to call up today and give us a bunch of them.
Yeah, I bet. So I'll listen to that in that 28 Days that the woman was
scary movie.
Yeah, I think I'll try to get that one. But the reason I was calling is I listened to part of your debate with Mike Rosen.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to apologize to you because I've been listening to you since you've been on for Jay. And, you know, I didn't know if you were a good debater or not. And I've listened to Mike Rose and you know, I know how he can, you know, try to bully people.
Mm-hmm.
And, man, you did great.
Thanks, man.
Yeah.
Thanks.
No, you did great. And you did have him frustrated. He tried to bully you.
He seemed pretty ticked off, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. And I listened for about 45 minutes, and the hypocrisy of him, that's why I quit listening to him. He just would drive me nuts. But that whole argument, well, that segment you guys had on the bank regulation changing as opposed to, no, they changed the law.
Right, that was really pedantic. You know, that was I didn't even understand his point.
I didn't either.
It was very bizarre. But, I mean, you know what it says to me? Man, it says to me that conservatives are afraid of that debate now.
Yeah.
Like they don't want to have that debate, so they have to try to use all sorts of like rhetorical pyrotechnics to distract from the real issue.
Right, that's exactly what that was, because if he couldn't understand that simple fact, he was being dishonest, you know,
evasive.
Yeah,
exactly. And the whole point, I mean, I thought the funniest part of it was when he was telling me, you don't understand.
Right.
You don't understand. And now, I wasn't on the debate team, but I'll tell you this. John McCain made himself look like a fool when he was lecturing Barack Obama saying, you know, you don't understand, you don't understand.
Right.
It's kind of like the last refuge for a debater when they don't know,
exactly.
when they actually don't understand, or perhaps they do understand that they're cornered, so they just say, well, you don't understand. It was pretty funny, and at one point, I said, you know, Mike, you're just reiterating what I've just said.
Exactly.
And I said, we can go to the tape if you want. And
oh, yeah. I was screaming at the radio. It was driving me nuts. I'm not a great debater, but, you know, I know common sense and I know basic facts. And you know, following that debate, I don't know how anyone could listen to what he was saying and understand the difference.
Well, let's hope he's willing to, in the future, let's hope he's willing to have another one. I hope he's not so ticked off that he won't do it again. I thought it was definitely at least a valuable experience. Hey, Danny, thanks for the call, man.
Yeah, thank you.
6:35, I'm David Sirota, filling in for Jay Marvin here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. It's Movie Friday. What are your favorite plague or disease movies?
It didn't take long for Mike to dig into you, did it?
No.
Immediately he said, I think one of the first comments out of his mouth was, I think your station is way more far to the left than our station
is.
Yeah,
I know. That's like so ridiculous. And by the way,
it was like his first thing he said.
And then he later on, he like kind of made a blanket statement about the audience. You know, we got one caller, and he was like, oh, well, the AM 760 audience, the entire audience, he sort of denigrated the whole audience. And it's like, you know, these are the standard tactics of conservative radio hosts. And, you know, he seemed pissed off, but I thought it was worthwhile
fun.
Thing. I thought it was fun.
I like the name calling, and then like, David, you're a bedwetting, you know, big government.
Let's go to break.
Spender. We'll be right back.
It was so funny. That was really funny.
That was good radio. Great radio. Hopefully we can do it again.
I hope we can too. So give us a call, 303-713-7600. Give us your opinion on the debate yesterday. If you haven't heard it, go to www.am760.net. I think you'll appreciate it. Give us your favorite plague movie or disease movie, Outbreak, Children of Men. 28 Days Later, those have been listed. And also, tell us what you think. Who do you support? Mark Udall yesterday cast a vote allowing bankruptcy judges to write down mortgages so as to prevent foreclosures. He voted against the banks. Unfortunately, Michael Bennett voted with the banks and with 11 other Democrats and with the entire Republican Party to kill that bill. Who do you think was right? Udall or Bennett? 303-713-7600. Let's go to John Turk with traffic.
Well, it's nice and light as we're starting off the morning commute. We do have some fog, though, in a couple different spots. You'll see it on I-70 near Floyd Hill, also in the south end of town between Denver and Colorado Springs at Monument Hill. Freeways around the metro looking pretty good for us. Speed still in the 30s. Southbound I-25 up in North Glen, again downtown, going to be a little heavy. Also on 225 leaving at Colfax again after Yosemite. That's starting to build there on the approach to the tech center. Also busy westbound 76 at 74th Avenue, but we are accident and stall free. Forecast mostly cloudy and cooler. Isolated rain showers and a high of 53 today. Tomorrow, rain in the afternoon and a high of 50. And on Sunday, partly cloudy with a chance for showers and a high of 57. Right now, 42 degrees in Denver. John Turk, AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Denver, show your pride, move your ride. Help to keep Denver's streets, air, and water clean. Move your car on your street sweeping day to keep the Mile High City clean, and you won't get a ticket. Visit keepitcleandenver.org to sign up for a free e-minder or text, or call 311 for free calendar stickers.
Stop all the labeling. Stop all the name-calling. The country is...
Hi, Tom Hartman here to tell you about Independent Power Systems, a proud supporter of AM 760. Did you know that electricity rates have gone up by 38% in the last year? Why not lock in low electricity prices for life by going solar? Let Independent Power Systems show you how rebates and tax incentives pay for up to 60% of a solar system. That's nearly $25,000 off. Independent Power Systems reminds you that the XL solar rebate won't last forever. Act now before the opportunity to save up to 60% on solar ends. Call Independent Power Systems at 303-443-0115 for a free solar assessment from the Coors Field Solar Experts. Going solar is easy. Let Independent Power Systems show you how. Call 303-443-0115. That's 303-443-0115. Or visit Independent Power Systems online at solarrips.com. SolarRips.com.
This is John Elway. I could have gone anywhere for LASIK, but I selected Icon LASIK right here in Denver. Icon has performed over 65,000 LASIK surgeries in Colorado using the latest custom laser technology. And Icon makes LASIK more affordable starting at $4.99 per eye. Schedule your free LASIK consultation today at 720-524-1001 or visit iconlasik.com. That's 720-524-1001. And tell them John sent you.
The winner of American Idol.
You are a victim.
Get ready for another reality TV show which promises to significantly transform the lives of its contestants. If you think you've heard it all before, think again. This as-yet-unnamed show, which is set to air on NBC sometime later this year, will feature the king of self-help, Tony Robbins, who hopes to strengthen and motivate individuals faced with real-life struggles.
Reality TV Rundown.
Every once in a while, a revolutionary product comes along that changes everything.
Take it out of the future.
With the new iPod Shuffle, think zero, as in zero buttons. Yep, user control of the new Shuffle from the main unit to the headphones results in a reduction in size of around 50%. As cool as it sounds, though, there is one small caveat. If you're doing anything other than sitting still, you're going to have trouble grabbing the constantly swaying headphone control.
Inspector Gadget.
1-8-1. That's 1-800-331-2181. 1-800-331-2181.
The Australian government has agreed to release the gold koala into the U.S. The gold koala is a 24-carat solid gold coin and will be released to the American public through agreement with the New York Mint. We'll have a number you can call in a moment. But first, during the Depression, no one wanted to face economic turmoil without the security of gold. After the Depression, the U.S. melted down millions of U.S. gold coins and relatively few remain today, leaving many U.S. coin dealers unable to meet current demand for gold coins. Now, through an agreement with the Perth Mint, the 24-carat solid gold Australian gold koala is being released to the public on a first-come, first-served basis at a price of $98 each, with a strict limit of 5 per caller when you call now. Please dial carefully and call the Mint directly at 1-800-700-5216. Again, 1-800-700-5216. 1-800-700-5216.
.642 on the Front Range. 39 degrees going up to 52 with rain in the forecast. Decidedly not a sandals day. What'd you think about the debate yesterday between me and Mike Rosen? If you didn't hear it, go to www.am760.net. And if you did hear it, give us a call. Let us know what you think about it. Curious if you liked the debate, if you learned something from it, and who you thought won. Movie Friday, what's your favorite plague movie? Favorite movie about an outbreak in light of the swine flu panic? And then the political question of the hour is, who do you think was right, Mark Udall or Michael Bennett? Udall cast a vote yesterday for the bill that would allow bankruptcy judges to renegotiate the terms of home loans so as to prevent foreclosures. Michael Bennett voted with the banks and with 12 Democrats and the entire Republican Party against that bill. Who do you think was right? 303-713-7600. We'll get back to the phones. Let's go to Kevin in Boulder. Kevin.
Good morning, David.
Morning.
Well, I got a lot of comments on the so-called debate yesterday. First of all, just the format of it was flawed in that there was no moderator, and Rosen would set up, you know, tell several lies in 30 seconds or less, and then say, oh, got to go to break, and then
right.
He gave you a chance to respond to that. So it wasn't truly a debate as far as that goes. And what was discussed, I felt, was kind of a distraction from Obama's first 100 days. He talked about lots of different presidents, but not a whole lot about what Obama has done. And then he speculated on about what Obama is going to do, and you guys argued about that. So that was kind of irrelevant as well. So I kind of thought the focus was off. And the big thing was is that number of times Rosen interrupted you and said, oh, well, let me finish, blah, 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 blah. And so you would, you know, let him make his point. But when you went to make a point, he would interrupt you. And unfortunately, you did not push back on that and say, now, wait a minute, you have to let me finish.
Well, I thought I got... if not equal time, then I thought I got close to equal time. I didn't time it, so maybe you're right. I mean, I don't know how it sounded to everybody else. That's true.
I tried to look at it objectively. I knew what the points were that you were trying to make, so I had kind of an advantage there. But if I hadn't have known what your points were, I would have thought that you got smoked in that because you spent a lot of the time agreeing with what he said, and then you didn't.
I spent a lot of time agreeing with what he said.
Yeah, you'd say, "Well, I have to agree with that," or you know, various things that like Clinton did or whatever.
Well, I do agree with that. I mean, I do agree that Bill Clinton was part of deregulation. I'm not.
Right, and I agree with that as well. But the thing is the more that you agreed with him, the less it looked like you. It made him look like he was more right and you were more wrong because you agreed with some of the things he said, whereas he didn't agree with anything you said.
All right, so. that's a fair point. I think the only thing I would say is that, and that's a fair point, it's good criticism. The only thing I would say is that I don't necessarily think that you get credibility by pretending every single argument your opponent says is wrong. I mean, unless they're really wrong. I mean... And I actually think that it's interesting that you bring this up because I think that that's what hurt, to my mind, what hurt Rosen was that he was willing to concede absolutely nothing. And when you do that, I think you end up sounding like a talking points machine.
Right.
You don't end up sounding like an honest person.
I think that you, some agreement's fine, but I think it was a little too much.
That's fair enough.
Like I said, I think that it really kind of lost the focus on the first 100 days. You know, you spent a lot of time arguing about Roosevelt's unemployment differences, and
right.
You never mentioned the fact that 25% unemployment was caused by the GOP in the
first
place.
No, that's not true, and we can go to the tape. I mentioned that twice. I said it followed a Republican era, and then I also said that it that it was as the result of specifically of many of Herbert Hoover's Republican policies. So,
right.
I did say that.
I did hear that, but then he followed up and with his whole spiel about how it
didn't fix the great
didn't fix
right.
it, and
yeah,
I
right.
felt that you kind of needed to respond again to that.
That's fair enough. That's fair enough. Hey, I gotta get some other calls. You got a movie?
Yeah, Andromeda Strain.
Oh, that's a good one. Nice. That's a good one. And a great book, by the way.
Yeah, my folks wouldn't let me watch Dark Shadows when I was young, too.
Oh, okay.
It was about vampire soap opera.
How old is it? How old is that movie?
It wasn't a movie. It was a TV show.
Oh, TV show.
Yeah, that was back in the 60s, a black and white.
Cool. I'm glad you reminded me of the Andromeda Strain. That's a good movie. Thanks, man.
You bet. Have a great day.
All right, you too. 6:48, I'm David Sirota filling in for Jay Marvin on AM 760 Progressive Talk, 303-713-7600. Give us your take on the debate yesterday between me and Mike Rosen. If you haven't heard it, www.am760.net. Give us your favorite movie about an outbreak in light of the swine flu panic. Tell us, if you want, who you think was right on this cram-down bill. This bill to go up against the banks. Was Udall right for voting against the banks? Or was Michael Bennett right for voting with the banks? Bob in Denver, what do you think? Bob?
David.
Yes, sir.
I told John this morning that I've been trying to call him for the past 2 weeks to compliment you guys on your shows over those periods.
Thanks, I appreciate it.
Yeah, and I've been listening to talk radio since the early late 50s. I used to listen to Rosen, and he's got a hot collar. There's no doubt about that.
He does.
And you are definitely easier to listen to.
Good. Well, I appreciate that.
Well, I appreciate you guys' shows and the subjects you carry, and I appreciate the time you give your audience.
Hey, thanks, Bob.
And just keep it going.
All right, man. Thanks.
Thanks, David.
I appreciate it.
Hey, wait a minute.
Yeah.
I think the judges should be able to adjust these loans because – Lord, they adjust loans all the time in the higher bracket of business.
All right, so there we go. So we got somebody weighing in for Mark and Udall. I agree with you, Bob.
I don't have a movie. Thank you.
All right, man. Thanks, Bob.
All right, bye.
All right, we'll do one more call before the break. We'll go to Elizabeth in Denver.
Hi.
Hi.
I really enjoy your show.
Thanks.
My movie is The Stand by Stephen King.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. See, I, you know, it was funny. We were talking about this. Turk and I were talking about this before the show, and we were like, there are enough movies out there about, you know, diseases, outbreaks, this kind of thing. And I said, no, I think there are. And I named a couple, and now everyone's bringing up some great ones. I mean, Andromeda Strain, now you're saying The Stand. There are a lot of them out there.
Yes, there are. There are a lot of creepy ones, but
yeah.
That's the creepiest one in my opinion.
Yeah. listen to the debate yesterday, or do you want to weigh in on the Udall-Bennett issue?
Well, I think Udall did make the right decision in that matter. And regarding the debate, I didn't hear all of it. My husband did. I thought you were really great, and Rosen was really being a bully, like that other guy said. And
you know, he's interesting. You know, without the hold button, I thought he got a little unhinged at times. I thought he got a little hot under the collar, as a previous caller said. I wasn't expecting that because he's usually pretty smooth when he's just doing his show. Hey, Elizabeth, thanks for the call. 6:51, I'm David Sirota here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. We'll get back to your calls after a traffic update with John Turk.
Well, traffic is looking pretty good for us on the freeway systems around town. I am getting reports of a crash, though, eastbound I-70 at Wadsworth. Also one on Wadsworth southbound side around 72nd. Those might be the same accident. That's what CBS is reporting. But something going on there near Wadsworth and I-70 around town. Southbound 225, pretty full leaving Aurora. First at Colfax, again after Yosemite. Also busy on southbound I-25. In those normal spots, North Glen, our heaviest jams right now between 104th and 84th speeds in the 20s and 30s. And they're also going to be busy after Park Avenue, taking you past Spear Boulevard. Patchy fog as well, I-70 near Floyd Hill and near Monument on I-25. Forecast, cloudy with pretty good chance for rain showers. Highs in the lower 50s. Right now, 42 degrees in Denver. John Turk, AM760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
When you're on your motorcycle, nothing catches you off guard. Until something does. Live longer. Ride further. Take a class. Learn more at comotorcyclesafety.com. That's comotorcyclesafety.com. Mario's.
Introducing TGI Friday's restaurant's new $5 sandwiches and salads. 9 irresistible new selections like the JD Chicken Sandwich or Santa Fe Chop Salad, all for just $5. And to celebrate, right now, any sandwich or salad on our menu is just $5 too. So hurry in to get yours now, because this offer is only for a limited time. Visit Fridays.com for details. Gimme more Fridays. Prices and participation may vary for a limited time only.
Presenting another compelling identity theft metaphor, brought to you by Identity Guard. Today, icebergs.
When it comes to identity theft protection, a free credit report is just the tip of the iceberg. But often, there's no iceberg below the surface, just a tip bobbing about. So get Identity Guard. With superior protection tools and patented technologies, Identity Guard is a colossal identity theft protection iceberg. All this from the company that's protected over 20 million people. And that does not sound like something an iceberg tip could accomplish. So get Identity Guard and get real protection. Not just a free credit report tip.
Don't be a victim of online identity theft. Get Identity Guard. Serious 21st century stuff for 21st century crime. Sign up now and get the added security of your personal password protector, ID Vault. A $50 value. Free plus shipping and handling. Call 877-600-2669 now. That's 877-600-2669. Or visit identityguard.com.
You know how windy it can get here in Colorado, not to mention our rain, snow, hot sun. Why not get the most durable patio furniture you can find at Freehoff's Patio and Garden Center in Boulder? Hi, it's April Zesbaugh. April is heavy metal month at Freehoff's, which means they've got a ton of wrought iron and other metal tables and chairs on sale all month. All of their furniture has been tested and selected for our harsh climate here. Spelled Freehoff's, pronounced Freehoff's, at 33rd and Arapahoe in Boulder. The quality and deals make it worth the drive from anywhere.
That's Jared!
Hi, I'm Jane Seymour. My mother used to say, always keep your heart open. It's the only way to give and receive love. Those words inspired my new Open Hearts jewelry collection.
And now, you are invited to see the Open Hearts by Jane Seymour jewelry collection at Jared, the Galleria of Jewelry. Priced from just under $50 to $1,300.
When your heart is open, love will always find its way in.
Find a Jared store or shop anytime at jared.com.
.655, I'm David Sirota, filling in here for Jay Marvin on AM 760 Progressive Talk. It's Movie Friday. What's your favorite plague or outbreak movie? What'd you think of the debate between Mike Rosen and myself yesterday? And who do you think was right, Mark Udall or Michael Bennett, in this vote on cram-down legislation? Everybody's got 20 seconds. We're going to get in all these calls if we can. Everyone's got 20 seconds, so make it brief. I got to get the national news in a few seconds. So here we go. Greg in Denver, you got 20 seconds. Greg.
Yeah, Charlton Heston and the Omega Man.
All right. Yes, that was mentioned earlier. Good.
That was one real good one.
Yep.
Little thing about Mike Rosen. Years ago, I used to listen to talk radio. He came in. I thought, what a kind of refreshing guy. He was talking to some guy sometime before the Olympics. It was right after the Olympics where people got killed and there was a security problem. And he called Greenpeace a terrorist organization. From that day on, I never listened to him again.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's, you know, when
that's what happens. Sometimes people can break their trust with you, that's for sure.
Exactly right. Well, listen, thanks.
Hey, thanks so much.
You bet.
All right, let's go to, let's see. Kip, what are you, you're on AM 760.
Yes. Yes,
I thought you did a wonderful job against Mark Rosen. His tactics were very transparent to me, because what he would do is he would talk over you, and then when you got a chance to respond, he would go to break. I was really extremely shocked that he wasn't willing to even discuss.
He definitely had the home field advantage, if you will, because he was moderating.
But that wasn't even just all of it. I mean, for example, how he lost his shirt in the as a direct result of deregulation, he wouldn't really engage you.
No, he wouldn't.
He would just say, "That's fine. He broke the law," which was kind of irrelevant. It was like saying someone broke the law when they tailgated someone and never paying any attention.
Right,
there wasn't anyone checking people for the speed limit.
Exactly. You know? He didn't want to talk about enforcement. Hey, thanks for the call, Kip.
Yep.
All right, Dutch. Dutch in Westminster.
Yeah, David, I listened to part of the debate, and I got so mad because you kept cutting you off, but I didn't finish it. Two, what was Ritter thinking of appointing this idiot Bennett?
That's the question. You got me. You got me.
You had a thing on a couple of days ago or last week about why Ritter's polling is down. This is one of them.
Yeah, that's for sure. Hey, thanks for the call.
Yeah, well, and one other thing that nobody's mentioned, the Andromeda Strain.
The Andromeda Strain, that's a good one. Hey, thanks for the call, Dutch.
All right.
Dave in Littleton, real quick, go for it.
I just want to say yesterday was pretty good. I thought it was really funny that when you mentioned how Mike, you know, that they came up with the typical Republican response, we have to do this now, or the whole world's going to fall apart. He got pretty angry after you mentioned that.
Yeah, because that's the Republican tactic, right? I mean, you know, we've got to do something.
It sounded like he listened to a couple of tapes of Rush Limbaugh before he decided to sit down and talk to you.
Well, there is Rush is on their network. That's probably true. You got a movie, or you going to want to weigh in on this Udall Bennett thing?
Outbreak, I thought was a good one. And Michael Bennett, I think he's going to end up changing parties here.
It was a really, really disappointing, vote. Yeah. Hey, thanks for the call, man.
Yep.
Have a good one. All right. In the 7 a.m. hour, we're going to be talking about whether you think we should be spending $50 million on a NASCAR racetrack. We got a state representative who said we shouldn't, so stick around.
Thinking about starting a big home improvement project? Don't do it yourself. Trust a name that has more than 30 years experience. Hi, Tom Hartman here, and I want to talk to you about AAA Home Improvements. AAA is a full-service home improvement company specializing in pop-ups, additions, kitchens, and basements. They handle it all from start to finish, but don't take my word for it. Read what their satisfied customers have said at aaahomeimprovements.com. AAA Home Improvements, 720-981-4269. 720-981-4269.
AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk. KKZN, Thornton, Denver, Boulder. On your iPhone, BlackBerry, and AM760.net.
CBS News, I'm Frank Settapani. A member of the Supreme Court's liberal wing is calling it quits. David Souter will retire at the end of the current term in June. CBS News Chief Legal Analyst Andrew Cohen.
There were signs in this direction. The justice did not hire his new clerks for the next term, which usually happens by now. And, of course, the beginning of a new presidential term, especially one that brings in a new party, is a logical time for a change.
I'm Peter Mayer, live at the White House. President Obama's ultimate choice may not immediately change the court's ideological balance, but it will start to put his imprint on it. Last year on the campaign trail, candidate Obama talked up court nominees with real-world experience.
And what I want are people on the bench who have enough empathy, enough feeling for what ordinary people are going through, that they're not just in a bunch of abstractions up there.
Many court watchers believe Mr. Obama will name a woman to join Justice Ginsburg. He'll also face pressure to name the first Latin American to the court, Frank.
Immigration groups will be holding May Day rallies today from coast to coast. Organizers hope to have as many marchers as they have in the past, in spite of all the concern about the swine flu outbreak that began in Mexico. Migrant workers flocking across the border in search of summer jobs can expect more than the usual scrutiny. Live to CBS's Steve Caven.
Public health officials are visiting work sites, food lines, and churches along the border looking for these workers from Mexico.
We need to be sure they know how to deal with this
this flu.
Juan Manuel Moran of the United Farm Workers has medical vans out to screen workers and give them prevention tips. It's not easy. Many are scattered all over, most with no access to doctors or even running water to wash their hands. Frank?
At least two, maybe three workers at a Concord, New Hampshire hospital have suspected cases of the H1N1 swine flu. Britt Olson, who visited the hospital recently, says officials didn't seem to be taking appropriate precautions.
It would just make me feel better if they were questioning people to see if they had been out of the country or to see if they could give us any more information, and we didn't get anything.
Los Angeles police say DNA evidence has enabled them to arrest the serial killer who raped and murdered as many as 30 women as far back as the 1950s. The suspect is John Floyd Thomas Jr., a 72-year-old insurance adjuster. Earl Harry Hutchinson worked with Thomas.
Here was an individual that was always smiling, always very congenial, always very pleasant. Never at any time did I ever see or experience him lose his temper.
Detectives are poring over decades-old cold cases to see if Thompson was involved in other killings. NASA will do away with 900 manufacturing jobs over the next few months. CBS News space consultant Bill Harwood.
It's a tough thing whenever layoffs like this come around, and in this case, of course, they really signal the end of an era because it really points directly to the end of the shuttle program, which has been in operation now since the early 80s.
The first notices go out today, mostly to contractors that make shuttle fuel tanks and rocket boosters. This is CBS News.
Not long ago, using the internet meant waiting for a connection, for a page to load or a download to complete, and progress bars. Lots and lots of progress bars. Welcome to now. Equip your team with Sprint Mobile Broadband and instantly unleash the potential of the internet from almost anywhere. They pop a Sprint Mobile Broadband card into their laptops, and they're up and running right now. Checking emails from the lobby? Check. Uploading or downloading some mammoth files in the back of a cab? Done. And because only Sprint has the most dependable 3G network, your crew gets what's most important to them whenever they need it, practically instantaneously. Instant internet from virtually anywhere. Sprint. The Now Network. Get a free Ovation U760 by Novatel Wireless Mobile Broadband Card for your entire business team. Visit Sprint.com/free card. Dependable based on third-party drive tests on data performance for top 50 markets. Offer valid through 6609. Excludes taxes. May require credit approval. $36 activation. 2-year agreement and $200 early termination fee. Available for corporate liable accounts only. See store for coverage and other details.
Winning a PC is as easy as 345PC.com. 345PC.com.
I'm David Kao with an AM 760 local news update. Colorado health officials are waiting for test results to see if any more people here have the H1N1 or swine flu. They expect a handful of results, perhaps today. The federal government is assuring Colorado officials it will provide anything necessary to help combat the flu. Governor Ritter says the state's been planning its pandemic response for 7 years.
Planning we've done, the lessons that we've learned from planning exercises are allowing us to respond in a measured and appropriate way to the outbreak of H1N1 influenza in our state.
Two cases of that flu have been identified in Metro Denver, and both people are expected to be fine. A Colorado House committee has passed a bill requiring anyone arrested for a felony to submit a DNA sample. Currently, only people convicted of crimes must submit DNA. Sports: Rockies begin a series in San Francisco tonight. That's your AM 760 Progressive Talk News Update. I'm David Kao. Now Todd Parker with your AM 760 Progressive Traffic.
Not a bad start to this morning's commute. We're seeing some slowdowns in those usual spots, like eastbound 270 on that approach to Vasquez. Southbounders on I-25 coming out of Thornton and North Glen, you're feeling it. We're also seeing more cars on the eastbound side of the turnpike, just past Federal, but it's not too slow. Outside the city limits, kind of a busy ride. Got an accident on the southbound side of I-25 in the Loveland area. Patchy fog along I-70 near Floyd Hill and the foothills, as well as I-25 south of Castle Rock towards Monument Hill. I'm Todd Parker, AM 760, Progressive Talk.
DU's College of Professional and Continuing Studies offers master's degrees and bachelor's completion for working professionals, online or evenings. Classes start June 8th. Find more information at universitycollege.du.edu. That's universitycollege.du.edu.
Technology. Every once in a while, a revolutionary product comes along that changes everything.
Take it to the future.
iPhone users now have a new way to make calls. Say hello to Skype for iPhone. Don't get too excited, though. As it turns out, you'll only be able to use this app when you're connected to the interwebs via Wi-Fi. Even so, it does promise the ability to make free Skype-to-Skype calls, Skype out support, and instant messaging with other users.
Inspector Gadget.
Go!
is Sacha Baron Cohen's highly anticipated follow to Borat. It's set for a July 10th release, but unless producers tone down some of the content, it could be slapped with a kiss of death NC-17 rating. Reports suggest there may be a little too much sexy time in the mockumentary about the flamboyant fashionista Bruno, which has already been praised by critics. Next year's Golden Globes will be televised live across the U.S. for the first time. Organizers say that time differences and leaked videos in the West Coast before the show has even aired meant that it makes more sense to just screen the show live across the country at the same time. 2010's nominations will be revealed on December 15th.
The mountain venues to host the Winter Olympics. The legislation would allow developers to use up to $50 million a year in future sales tax revenues to pay for building stadiums, museums, and arenas, just about anything that is aimed at attracting out-of-state tourists and the roads, sewers, and power lines needed for them. The Senate has already approved this bill, the state Senate, and the House approved an amended version Wednesday. The two must now be reconciled in a conference committee before the final vote. The bill, coming as it does in a session where lawmakers spent months scrambling to backfill budget holes, is called, quote, a special interest tax giveaway by critics, and proponents call it a needed boost for business and tourism. So our guest in this hour is Boulder Democratic Representative Jack Palmer. He has argued that the state can't afford to give away this kind of tax revenue, and we've asked him to come on and tell us why. Thanks for taking the time this morning.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me on.
So give us the crux of your opposition to this.
Oh, boy. Well, I guess at this point the most basic reason I oppose it is because we're cutting $1 billion out of our budget. And one of the reasons we're doing it is because we've cut taxes over and over and over again to the point where we're flat broke. And at some point, somebody has to pay some taxes or we can't maintain the services that people expect from a state. And so I've felt that it's time to stop cutting taxes and start collecting the ones we have so that we can continue having things like higher education and K-12 and all the things that people expect.
Well, let me make the devil's advocate argument. And I agree with you, so I should state that for the audience. I agree with you, but the devil's advocate argument is, well, listen, the way to grow our economy is to build the tax base. And for better or for worse, we as a state are forced into a competition with other states to attract business. And we are caught in this competition with other states to see who can throw more goodies at private corporations to get them to come here. And if they come here, then they create jobs. That creates economic activity, which creates tax revenue, which ultimately trickles through the economy. What say you to that argument?
We have the fifth lowest state and local tax burden in the country. In 1999 and 2000, we cut taxes 24 times, and that wiped out close to $1 billion worth of revenue. And we're still cutting taxes. At some point, you have to say that if we're going to have a state, we need to have some revenue so that we can operate it. Businesses say that one of the problems we have in Colorado is we don't invest enough in our infrastructure and we don't invest enough in schools. They don't complain about the level of taxes here. And in fact, most businesses, when they're making decisions on where to locate, don't make it based on tax policy. If you look at most businesses, taxes are a very, very small portion of their costs.
And as you said, their basis for deciding what state to be in. The data and surveys of business have long shown that. We're talking to Boulder State Representative Jack Palmer. He is opposing the bill in the state legislature that would devote up to $50 million, would give up to $50 million to private developers for projects that they say would attract or aim to attract tourists to the state. Wouldn't we be, if we don't do this, and again, just playing devil's advocate, wouldn't we be unilaterally disarming right? There's this, we clearly have a really messed up situation in our country where states are basically forced to compete. They're forced to compete in this race to the bottom where every, you know, we're competing with Wyoming and we're competing with New Mexico and we're competing with other states to try to attract businesses, and especially businesses that are mobile, that can decide wherever they want to be. You know, a lot of information sector businesses, they can, you know, because they can be anywhere, they can play one state off against the other. So if we don't pass subsidies like this, aren't we unilaterally disarming, and wouldn't that potentially hurt us?
Well, I don't believe so. I think there are certain cases where it makes sense for the government to invest in something. I think our investments in the new energy economy have really paid off because it helped us start a new industry. But one of the things companies look for, and I don't know if this applies to the NASCAR track, but they look for an educated workforce. So I think we're much better off educating people of Colorado so that we can tell companies, if you come here, you're going to have a ready workforce of people who can do the job you want done. Plus, once you invest in the people of Colorado, they can use those skills with anybody rather than just one entity. The other issue is we never look at costs. So, for instance, we're constantly measuring how many companies we can attract, how much revenue they bring in, but we don't look at the cost. And in some cases, I think for instance, this regional tourism authority, which I think is essentially trying to attract a NASCAR track. And NASCAR, I think, has become kind of a package deal where you have some big box retailers and NASCAR as the attraction to bring in customers. We just passed a regressive fee on people registering their cars to pay for roads because we don't have enough money to maintain our highway system. That fee isn't even going to cover half the cost of what we need just to bring the system up to a reasonable level of maintenance and repair. If we're going to attract thousands of people, like NASCAR promises, from out of state, they're going to be driving from Utah and from New Mexico and Wyoming and Kansas. And that's going to put a lot of wear and tear on our highways, and that means somebody's going to have to pay to repair that. If this new entity isn't paying taxes, then, and by the way, the original proposal was that $50 million cap was a compromise to get the bill out of finance. Originally, there was no cap. If they're not paying their share, who pays for all that maintenance? And we never look at the costs of these things. We never say, wow, there's a cost to having somebody here. There's a cost to having this track here. We just look at what potential revenue we might get. And if we don't compare the two, we could wind up losing money on these things.
We're talking to State Representative Jack Palmer of Boulder. He is opposing this bill in the legislature to devote up to $50 million, hand that money over to developers in hopes that they will use it to build tourist-attracting facilities in the state. Here's another question for you. First and foremost, why is this argument so powerful in the legislature? Why hasn't there been a bigger and stronger opposition, not only to this program, but other programs like it? Is the economic development, quote unquote, argument so powerful that it's just been unstoppable?
It is, for two reasons. One, we've really gotten ingrained in our way of thinking the idea that if we cut taxes, it increases revenue. And I've never seen it happen anywhere.
Well, I mean, that's the Laffer curve, right? That's the famous myth from Ronald Reagan, which was the idea, you know, it's been so debunked at the national level, even though conservatives invoke it.
Well, and even the economists the real economists who were behind the concept have said over and over, we never said it would increase revenue. What we said is, we wanted to shrink government. This will decrease revenue, but cutting taxes might stimulate enough economic activity that the decrease in revenue is not as much as some people forecast. So really,
it's partially offset.
Exactly. So there was never any. And our economists, by the way, do throw that into their equation. So if we cut taxes, they might say, well, we're going to lose $1 million in revenue potentially, but we're going to put it at $900,000 because it might generate a little economic stimulus. But the second problem is, and it reminds me so much of a couple of years ago, if you wanted to kill something, all you had to do was say, it will embolden terrorists. And if you wanted to pass something, you just said it increased homeland security. And here, I think, in this economy, where we really do want to create as many jobs as we possibly can, if you say this will increase jobs, it's very, very hard for people to oppose it.
Right.
But we never really look at the quality of jobs. We never look at the potential those jobs will be long-term. And we really discount the possibility that we can create jobs without these. If you look at our overall, you know, we have a huge variation in the number of jobs from month to month. So if you say something in the paper that says we lost 5,000 jobs, well, we actually probably had turnover of tens of thousands of jobs. The net was a loss of five. We don't really take that into consideration, and we look for this marginal increase, and we always assume that it has to be paid for through either taxes. I think other states can pay cash. We can't because we don't have any revenue, so we can't pay cash, so we do it through tax cuts. All right, we had a committee this fall and into the session looking into jobs and economic growth. And it was fascinating. Their final report said that Colorado has a very low tax scheme, fifth lowest in the country. We have very few regulations, which businesses often like. It said that we're criticized mostly for lack of investment in education and in our infrastructure. And it said that we need to invest more if we're going to attract businesses. Most businesses don't make decisions based on taxes. And then the recommendations included something like 10 tax cuts.
Yeah, it's incredible. We're talking to State Representative Jack Palmer of Boulder about his opposition to the bill that would give $50 million in tax breaks, tax subsidies to developers to build tourist-attracting, or what they say would be tourist-attracting facilities in the state. Okay, last question. Under this bill, do taxpayers get any kind of equity in anything that we're funding? I mean, this is an important question in the era of bailouts when we've seen trillions of our dollars, taxpayers' dollars, given to banks, and we've gotten, technically we've gotten some ownership stake, although it's been much more limited than many people would like, and there's been no strings attached. I mean, we've gotten some non-voting shares of stock, for instance, but we have very, very little leverage. So in the era of bailouts, my question is whether this bill gives taxpayers any kind of actual stake in what we may be funding.
No. Would we wind up owning AIG when this is over?
Oh, not owning AIG, but would we have some kind of, it's not just we're just going to give this money away. Maybe we'd get control over something, or maybe we'd get a say over something, or maybe we'd have, you know, sometimes there's been proposals when you build a stadium, we get a share, some kind of share of the gate. Is there, and do we get anything?
No, and by the way, when we finance the stadiums, we get no share of the
right. Well, all I'm saying is that some proposals have been made, right?
No, we get nothing, although we could possibly wind up with a heck of a lot of debt as a result of this. There's a financing entity here, and usually with these things, we go in saying, well, we're never responsible for this, but in the end we say, well, if they were to go bankrupt, nobody would ever invest in Colorado again. So we could wind up owning some debt, but nothing tangible. But the point I think we really have to make is we do best when we help create businesses, we help create industries that give people career opportunities, not just a job, you know, selling hot dogs or something like that. I mean, we need those jobs, but we should really be investing in the kind of jobs that create career opportunities. If you look at some of the biggest employers in Colorado, in Boulder we have Amgen, we have Ball Aerospace. These were literally created in our universities, and those are long-term investments in Colorado that create high-paying jobs that come with benefits, and that's what I think we have to focus on. And when we do that, we can focus on investing in the people of Colorado so that we're educated, we have skills that will attract companies, but they're also transferable. We're not putting all of our eggs in the basket of, say, a Speedway. If we have a Speedway and then somebody builds one in
right.
Well, there's already one in Kansas, but
right.
builds one in New Mexico, suddenly we might lose part of our market. If we invest in the people, if we invest in industries that we think are going to pay off in the long term, I think we do much better than giving away tax money for specific projects, especially some that, you know, this whole thing is kind of a package deal. And I guess the other thing I worry about is, so when this comes in with its Furniture Mart, its Cabela's, and all of these, you know, big box, they call them category killer retailers,
mm-hmm.
we wind up driving out of business a lot of stores that are paying taxes.
Right.
And then transferring that business to stores that essentially aren't paying taxes.
And that's such an important point, is that when you do that, when you pass these kinds of special tax breaks, you really, you, I don't want to say you punish, but you definitely tilt the scales in favor of businesses who aren't paying taxes or don't want to pay as many taxes as businesses that are already here that are playing by the rules that we've already set up. State Representative Jack Palmer of Boulder, thank you so much for taking the time this morning, and please keep us informed about what's going on this bill.
And please keep us informed about everything that's going on around us. Thank you very much for having me.
Thanks, Jack.
Sure.
That was State Representative Jack Palmer from Boulder. He is opposing this bill in the legislature to hand over $50 million to developers to build stuff like a new NASCAR stadium, a new home for the National Western Stock Show. So the question is, what do you think? Do you think our state needs to be spending some of its money, even in a budget crisis, trying to attract business? And by that I mean spending it on direct subsidies, handing over money to corporations as an incentive to come to Colorado. Do you think we need to be doing that? We've got open phones, 303-713-7600. Also, remember, Movie Friday. So if you've got a movie, the theme of the day is movies about outbreaks or diseases. Stuff like the Andromeda Strain, the movie Outbreak. We're doing that, obviously, because of the swine flu panic. 303-713-7600. Should our state legislature be spending tens of millions of dollars of future sales tax revenues to build stadiums, museums, arenas? The proposal, this specific proposal might build facilities to host a potential Winter Olympics. What do you think? 303-713-7600. Is that a good use of your taxpayer dollars?
I'm on the fence on this one, Dave.
You're on the fence.
Yeah. When the New Deal came down, FDR, that's how we got Red Rocks. You know?
That's true. That's,
and I wouldn't mind seeing the Olympics come to Colorado.
That's true, although I don't know the history of Red Rocks completely, but
I don't know if it was corporate dollars.
Do we still own it? Or is it all private?
I believe it belongs to the city of Denver.
Do they pay taxes? Well, then does Denver get tax revenues from it?
I'm not sure.
Do they probably? My guess is, I'm not sure here, my guess is they probably lease it to private people to use it. That's what happens.
Yeah.
We're talking right now about literally handing over the money to developers. So I'm all for, you know, ways of leveraging taxpayer money so that we get some kind of residual benefit in the future. My problem is simply saying, all right, here's the money, see you later. And
right.
If you can make a huge amount of money off it, if you make lots of money, you get to pocket all of it. We, the taxpayers, get nothing from it.
Right. No, it's one of those ones where I'm kind of sitting on the fence and want to see how it shakes out and where that all that money would go to.
Yeah, well, that's
I
the other...
I could do without the National Western Stock Show.
Yeah, well, that's the question. What are the controls on this?
Right.
Who chooses where this goes? That's exactly right. All right, let's get traffic.
All right, we do have a crash southbound I-25 in the Loveland area, but that's our only glitch in the metro, and it's not really in the Denver metro. Our only accident right now on the board. Do see some heavier jams now building on C-470 in Highlands Ranch, Broadway to Quebec, a slow stretch also on eastbound 270 approaching Vasquez from I-25. On southbound I-25, normal heavy spots too in North Glen at 104th Avenue, also downtown after 38th. Also checking patchy fog on I-70 near Floyd Hill and on I-25 near Monument Hill. Forecast, mostly cloudy and cooler, isolated rain showers and a high of 53. Right now, 42 in Denver. John Turk, AM760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Paulino Gardens, growers of the finest vegetable and bedding plants, welcomes you to their beautiful garden. It's spring, and you'll save a ton of green at The Lumber Guy. New inventories arriving every week. You'll find something for every home improvement or new building project, no matter what the size. The Lumber Guy has the best prices in the area on dimensional lumber, windows, trim, doors, and more. Visit The Lumber Guy today and start saving. They're easy to find at East 50th in Washington. From I-70, go north on Washington, turn right at 50th. Call The Lumber Guy at 303-979-8823 or log on to thelumberguy.net. If the Lumber Guy has it, you will save.
Hi, this is Tom Harbin. Would you like to learn to play the piano within 8 weeks? Well, now you can with the unique technique, Accelerated Piano Method, at Pianos and Pianos Teaching Facility. This course is half the price of private lessons. With the unique technique method, you'll be playing exciting selections of songs with both hands in just 8 weeks. Pianos and Pianos, a proud sponsor of AM 760. Call 303-933-9390. That's 303-933-9390.
Windy it can get here in Colorado, not to mention our rain, snow, hot sun. Why not get the most durable patio furniture you can find at Freehoff's Patio and Garden Center in Boulder? Hi, it's April Zesbaugh. April is heavy metal month at Freehoff's, which means they've got a ton of wrought iron and other metal tables and chairs on sale all month. All of their furniture has been tested and selected for our harsh climate here. Spelled Freehoff's, pronounced Freehoff's, at 33rd and Arapahoe in Boulder. The quality and deals make it worth the drive from anywhere.
Ladies and gentlemen,
please welcome,
we are live
for the world premiere
and
Showbuzz.
The movie industry is all on Twitter about rumors of a big screen return for Tom and Jerry. If true, they will be following in the live-action footsteps of fellow Hanna-Barbera character Scooby-Doo. According to reports, the new Tom and Jerry movie will focus on how the two characters met and the reasons behind their subsequent rivalry.
Showbuzz.
Pieces for your yard. Old Santa Fe Pottery. 2485 South Santa Fe Drive, just south of Evans.
This is Tom Harbin. Join me in AM 760 at the Denver Green Festival, May 2nd and 3rd at the Colorado Convention Center. Find out how neighbors, community nonprofits, and city departments are working together to make Denver a healthier, greener place to live. I'll be giving a keynote talk on May 2nd, so be sure to stop by. It's the Denver Green Festival with me, Tom Harbin, and AM 760 Colorado's Progressive Talk. Details are at am760.net.
728, I'm David Sirota, filling in for Jay Marvin here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. 303-713-7600, do you think Colorado should spend $50 million handing that money over to developers to build things like a NASCAR stadium, National Western Stock Show, home, potential mountain venues for the Winter Olympics? State Representative Jack Palmer of Boulder notes that we will not have any ownership stake over any of this stuff if we give this money away. Our benefit is supposed to be just the economic development it would create. So what do you think? 303-713-7600. It's also Movie Friday, so give us your favorite movie about an outbreak, a disease outbreak. I like Children of Men. That's a really, really dark and scary movie, but it's very, very good. William in Denver, you're on AM 760.
Yeah, I was just, first, the movie you just mentioned, I like that. It is very kind of a dark movie.
Very dark.
But I just wanted to call because I don't necessarily agree with the state representative Palmer. I truly believe that this would actually be a great benefit to immediately creating jobs of, you know, the working force people. You got blue collar workers, and that is going to put money back into the economy. You're going to need people to build these places. You're going to need people to maintain these places, to run the events at these places. And it is going to be attractive, you know, for others to come here. I mean, the National Western Stock Show, stock car racing, the Olympics, those are all pretty prominent, you know, sporting events, things that people will go to and things that people will travel to. And I think it would be great because we're going to get jobs in here. And his argument of, well, you know, the type of jobs and temporary, that's not necessarily true because we have a foundation of a very blue collar place. I mean, not everybody's going to be, you know, a long-term career white collar.
But what about the concept? What about the idea that if taxpayers spend money, we deserve some kind of stake in what we're spending money on, rather than simply giving it away
on your iPhone, BlackBerry, and AM760.net.
Supreme Court Justice Souter retires.
I don't think we're going to see a material shift in the philosophy of the court.
Swine flu cases increase in the U.S.
There is no need for panic.
And the Chrysler bankruptcy begins.
The management of Chrysler is going to be completely restructured here.
Good morning, I'm Nick Young with the CBS World News Roundup. He took his place on the nation's highest court during the administration of President George H.W. Bush.
The president's nomination and the Senate's confirmation are...
Now, Justice David Souter says he intends to step step down next month, and it gives President Obama an early opportunity to put his stamp on the court. Let's go live to the White House and CBS News correspondent Peter Mayer.
Right, Nick, and making his first high court choice will be a major moment for the former constitutional law professor in the Oval Office. On the campaign trail, candidate Obama outlined this view.
Part of the role of the court is to look out for the people who don't have political power, the people who are on the outside, the people who aren't represented, the people who don't have a lot of money, who don't have connections.
Many court observers believe Mr. Obama will name a second woman to join Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg. He has insisted he opposes a litmus test on the hot-button abortion issue, but he also campaigned on this standard.
Judges who will uphold the core values of our Constitution, that's why I won't back down when it comes to defending the freedom of women.
As for his judicial ideal, Mr. Obama has praised none other than Justice Souter's non-ideological approach. Live at the White House, Peter Mayer, CBS News.
Well, the week is drawing to a close with swine flu, known by its scientific name as H1N1, still very much on the minds of public health officials around the world. In this country, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention says 130 cases of the disease have been confirmed. In Mexico, the epicenter of the outbreak, CBS's Adrian Bard reports there are signs fears may be easing a bit as the number of new cases and deaths has leveled off.
There seems to be more traffic in Mexico City than in recent days. Perhaps people are starting to feel a little more confident about the situation in their country. You see people coming out of the subway. Many are still wearing masks, but some are not wearing masks anymore. And just waiting to see if this thing is going to blow over.
In this country, are all the states prepared for a full-blown flu pandemic? We're live with CBS News correspondent Steve Kathan.
The simple answer seems to be no.
We have already stockpiled in our state antiviral medication.
Maryland's governor's confident there's enough medicine for this outbreak, but the Washington Post says Maryland is one of several states to fall short of federal standards for stockpiles to handle a major health crisis.
The federal government has nearly 50 million treatment courses.
Health Secretary Kathleen Sebelius, with that federal goal being met, states are still millions of doses short, and some have no stockpile at all. Nick?
Amid fears over the H1N1 flu, there is also criticism that the media and officials have overreacted. Hundreds of schools across the country have been closed. Nearly 900,000 students in Fort Worth, Texas, have been put out of their classrooms for 2 weeks. But parent Whitney Brown says it's better to err on the side of caution.
I don't know if anyone wants to come out and say we're severely overreacting and then something tragic happens to a child.
At today's Northeastern University commencement ceremonies in Boston, officials are paying attention to warnings about how the flu can be transmitted. University spokesman Mike Armini.
After consulting with public health officials, we made a decision to let our graduates know that we would not have the traditional handshake when they receive their diploma.
In Comal County, Texas, the Reverend Brad McLean is shortening services at First Baptist Church this weekend.
I don't think that Walmart's going to be closed, so I don't believe we need to close the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ either.
Bud McLean says he will encourage knuckle bumps instead of the usual handshake between parishioners. Time on the roundup is 4 minutes past the hour.
I'm David Kale with an AM 760 local news update. Two confirmed cases of H1N1 or swine flu in Colorado. A woman who took a cruise to Mexico and then spent several days in San Diego, and a male baggage handler at DIA. Dr. Ned Kalange with the State Health Department believes more cases are ahead.
The situation continues to revolve and evolve rapidly. We're asking people to be on alert for changes in our guidance and our instructions as we learn more.
The woman recovered without going to the hospital. The man should be released from the hospital today. Colorado health officials waiting for test results on more people. Unionized workers at Safeway's meat warehouse in Denver have voted to authorize a strike if a new labor contract isn't reached by the time the existing one expires on May 9th. United Food and Commercial Workers say the grocery chain hasn't relented on proposed cuts in pension benefits and a wage freeze for two-thirds of workers. The warehouse contract covers 31 employees. And another sign of the times, the Denver Post reducing circulation outside the Front Range. Beginning next week, the Post will cut back Monday through Saturday distribution and by July won't deliver to the far western slope, eastern Colorado, or surrounding states. The Sunday Denver Post circulation will continue as is. Sports, Rockies begin a series in San Francisco tonight. That's your AM 760 Progressive Talk News Update. I'm David Kale. Now Todd Parker with your AM 760 Progressive Traffic.
CDOT crews have wrapped up their overnight construction projects. Those won't get in your way, and we've got no crashes or stalls either. Outside the metro area, however, watch out for areas of patchy fog along I-25 south of Castle Rock towards Monument Hill. We're also seeing very foggy conditions in the foothills along I-70. I'm Todd Parker, AM760, Progressive Talk.
You work hard for your money. You should use a product that works hard for you. Pick up a bag of Colorado-made, organic-based Pro-Rich Turf Food by Richlon.
The winner of American Idol.
You are addicted.
American audiences could soon be dancing with the Idol, as former Idol winner Ruben Studdard announces that he's keen to compete on Dancing with the Stars. The Season 2 winner recently revealed that he thinks it's a wonderful show and that he would love to be a part of it. Studdard is currently touring with the Ain't Misbehavin' Anniversary Tour, and his new album hits stores on May 19th.
Reality TV Rundown.
Every once in a while, a revolutionary product comes along that changes everything.
Take it to the future.
The recently released Amazon Kindle 2 has a couple of new buttons, the iPhone and iPod Touch. A new app has just been pushed out through Apple's App Store, which allows users to read the exact same Kindle content with their Apple devices. It doesn't end there, though, as shared features include the ability to sync bookmarks, buy new content, and more.
Inspector Gadget.
Technology. Every once in a while, a revolutionary product comes along that changes everything.
Take it to the future.
Looking for a new companion to keep track of the time and the number of calories you're burning? You need to check out the latest additions to Garmin's Forerunner range of watches, including the 310 XT, which features a robust exterior, is waterproof to 50 meters, boasts improved calorie counting accuracy, and also has GPS and wireless connectivity capabilities.
Inspector Gadget.
Curious. I always like to know if I did us right, because that's what it was all about. I was not just representing me. I was representing, hopefully, many of us in this fight against extreme conservatism. If you haven't heard the debate between me and Mike Rosen, I think you'll enjoy it. A lot of people told me, some people that didn't agree with me on the issues, they thought it made for good radio. So if you haven't heard it, go to www.am760.net and listen to it, and you can download the podcast, and you can vote on who you think won. So far, the voting's actually, according to the vote, I'm ahead. So more people, but you know, who knows if they.
According to Colorado polls, it says Bludgeons Rosen. Sirota Bludgeons Rosen headline.
Yeah. I had nothing to do with that story, I swear. So I'll just let you make the call. Go on to www.am760.net for that. Okay, we're going to do a news rundown. There's a ton of news, so now for our 6 a.m. news rundown.
Good evening. I'm Ron Burgundy, and this is what's happening in your world tonight.
Big news. Remember yesterday's story about Cramdown, this thing where this bill to allow homeowners, if they're in bankruptcy, to have bankruptcy judges consider renegotiating the terms of their loans? Yeah, the bill failed yesterday in the Senate. Only 45 Democrats voted for it. So much for the idea that Arlen Specter's change means Democrats are going to be able to pass basic legislation. Here is the local angle, because we always do local news first. Mark Udall voted for the bill. Good on you, Mark. Michael Bennett, our appointed U.S. Senator, did not vote for it. He voted against it. He was one of 12 conservative Democrats to vote with the banks and against homeowners. Dick Durbin, the lead sponsor of that bill, said, quote, "The banks own this place." And one of the people that they obviously own in the place is Michael Bennett. That's right. Michael Bennett voted with the banks and against homeowners, against giving regular people the same privileges in bankruptcy courts that millionaires have when it comes to their beach homes. Remember, the key on this issue, folks, is the fact that a bankruptcy judge is empowered to write down the mortgages on vacation homes and investment properties, which of course are disproportionately owned by rich people, but they're not allowed to write down the mortgages of primary residences. That is, the homes of most of us. And Michael Bennett sided with the banks. All Republicans and 12 Democrats, including Michael Bennett, voted against Cramdown, killing it. Some more bad news, unfortunately. In the state legislature, the effort to do away with the Electoral College here in Colorado is over for the year. The bill, the National Popular Vote bill being carried by Chris Romer, was tabled. It had passed the state house, but it failed in the Senate. So much for democracy. Some good news. The Colorado Senate passed a bill to toughen Colorado's seatbelt law on Thursday, sending it to the House. The Senate voted 20-15 to back the bill, with all Republicans, you know, with all Republicans and one Democrat voting against it. I mean, it passed, but you know who the one Democrat voting against it was? Morgan Carroll. I mean, what is up with her? She's usually been so good. What is going on? Morgan, you're making it hard to be a fan of yours lately. AP story. Conservationists say livestock grazing poses a threat to a wide variety of fish and other wildlife across more than three-fourths of their dwindling habitats on federal land in the West. Using satellite mapping and federal records, Wild Earth Guardians began a study last year matching wildlife habitat and grazing allotments across more than 260 million acres of federal land in the West. And the conclusions of the study were not encouraging. As we reported yesterday, Colorado legislators are moving closer to approving a $50 million tax break that could lead to the construction of a stock car racetrack, a new home for the National Western Stock Show, and mountain venues to host the Winter Olympics. Sounds to me like corporate welfare, and in the 7 a.m. hour, we're going to talk to Jack Palmer, state representative who is opposing this bill. National news. The big A1 story is Justice David Souter is planning to retire from the Supreme Court at the end of his term, so President Obama will have a choice of a new justice soon. Chrysler files to seek bankruptcy protection. And President Obama went off on hedge funds, saying they were unnecessarily inflexible in negotiating this. Some hedge funds are the creditors for Chrysler. I find it somewhat shocking that President Obama is railing on hedge funds, considering he has refused so far to get tough with hedge funds and the financial industry in general when it comes to the bailouts. As I mentioned, Senate Majority Whip Dick Durbin of Illinois is going off on his colleagues, saying that they are basically bought off by the banking industry after this cram down vote. And interestingly, some Democrats are saying that the White House refused to push this bill as vigorously as necessary, even though President Obama publicly officially supported it. Quote, "I cannot tell that President Obama has used his powers on this issue," said Representative Brad Miller, a Democrat from North Carolina, who worked with Durbin on the bill. Another supporter, Senate Banking Committee Chairman Chris Dodd, said the Obama administration showed some ambivalence. "The administration said they were for it. I wouldn't expect much more." And Dodd goes on to say that the White House just didn't push as hard as it needed to push. And the Hill newspaper notes that newly minted Democratic Senator Arlen Specter has cast his second straight vote against his new party's agenda. So, for all the hype, Arlen Specter's change of parties hasn't meant much of anything. And that's the subject of my column today in the Denver Post and all throughout Colorado in the Fort Collins, Coloradan, and in papers across the state. It's about Spectre. I encourage you to go read it. The good news, the Senate next week will take up a measure to increase consumer protections for credit card holders, even though Senate Democratic leaders acknowledge that they are unsure if they have the votes to ward off a filibuster. So they're pushing that forward. That's good. Some science and cultural news. When you hook a fish, does it hurt? A new study suggests yes. In the new study, researchers gave morphine to one group of fish and injected the other group with a placebo. The fish were treated to burning sensations that were expected to be painful, but which did not damage any tissue. Both groups reacted the same. However, the fish that had been on morphine later went about its business as if nothing had happened. The fish that had gotten the saline, the placebo, were wary after the test. So, and I do some fly fishing, and so this bothers me that they're finding out that fish feel pain. Because, you know, you catch and release. And you tell yourself that it doesn't really hurt them. From the Ottawa Citizen, experts studying pandemics such as the swine flu have long been stymied by computer models that lacked one critical variable, free will. Subjects in a computer model only do what the program tells them to do, not what they necessarily want them to do. So where would a self-respecting expert find a model that is more like the real world? Well, in the virtual world, of course. In the online society created by the video game World of Warcraft, researchers in Canada and around the world are using the lessons learned from a virtual plague that tore through World of Warcraft's community for years, 4 years ago, to better prepare for the mass quarantines that could be part of a full pandemic. It's interesting. It's really interesting. Wired Magazine. This is cool. Seth MacFarlane is making official plans for a Family Guy movie. That's pretty sweet. And I also read yesterday that Matthew McConaughey is talking to Richard Linklater about doing a second Dazed and Confused. Would be cooler if they did. And our final story here from the news rundown. From the AP, police in northwestern Pennsylvania, I love this story. Police in northwestern Pennsylvania say a burglar took some jelly beans from a home, but nothing else. Police said Thursday that they're stumped by the burglary in Northeast Township. Sergeant Mark Zaleski said it remains unclear whether the suspect wanted only jelly beans, or maybe that's all the thief had time to grab. Police said the burglar broke a front door window and took the jelly beans from a dining room table. And the homeowner reported that nothing else was missing or even moved. That kind of reminds me of that scene, one of my favorite scenes from the movie The Golden Child. Remember this scene? We got the audio on it. When Eddie Murphy is breaking, he's going to break into a house, and he's walking through somebody else's house, and here's what he says.
I'm not going to hurt anybody. I don't want no trouble. No trouble. I just want some chips. I want some chips, that's all. All I want some chips. See? The chip, that's it. Turn that over, man. It's burning. It's burning. Turn it over. It's burning. I just want some chips.
He just wanted some jelly beans. The burglar just wanted some jelly beans. So that's our news rundown for you.
I'm Ron Burgundy. You stay classy, San Diego.
So today is movie Friday. We'll throw out the movie question of the day. What's your favorite movie? What do you think the scariest or best movie about disease outbreak is? There's the movie Outbreak. There's a couple other movies I'll give you on the other end of the break. It's a good story in Salon about a bunch of movies about movie outbreaks. So if you call up, make sure to have a movie outbreak for you, for us, for Movie Friday. A movie about diseases, about outbreaks, anything in that genre. And in the question of the hour, well, I'll save it for the break. You'll have to listen till after the break. So start thinking about Movie Friday and your favorite outbreak movie. And after this break, I'll throw out the first question of the day that we're going to discuss here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. I'm David Sirota filling in for J. Marvin. Oh, yeah, and when you call up, let us know what you thought about the Mike Rosen debate. Did you like the programming? Did you like the debate? Who do you think won? Stick around. 303-713-7600. I'm David Sirota filling in here for J. Marvin. 39 degrees in Denver, going up to 52. Rain in the forecast. Let's go to John Turk with traffic.
Good morning, David. Traffic always a little lighter on Fridays than the rest of the week, and this morning looks like no exception. Southbound I-25 is starting to build for us in the usual spots, but speed's still pretty decent there in North Glen, 104 to 84th. You will tap the brakes also near downtown after 38th Ave. Southbound 225 also building around Colfax. No problems as you're approaching the tech center yet. Westbound 76 also starting to fill in there from 74th Avenue down to 270. Patchy fog on I-70 near Floyd Hill. Same deal on I-25 near Monument Hill. Your forecast, cloudy with pretty good chance for rain showers. High should be in the lower 50s. Right now, 42 degrees in Denver. John Turk, AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Choice is a good thing, especially at...
REI asks, just how great can the great outdoors be? Find out at the REI Anniversary Sale, our biggest sale of the year. Gear up for summer and save up to 30% on select camping, hiking, cycling, and paddling gear. Plus, REI members can save 20% on one item. Not a member? Then it's the perfect time to join. May 1st through May 10th. Stop by your local REI retailer or shop REI.com. REI. Find out. Offer applies to one full-price item. Exclusions apply.
Hi, Tom Harbin here to tell you about Lauer's Hardwoods. Want to save money, help the environment, and improve the look of your home? Buy Beetle Kill Wood Products. Lauer's Hardwoods carries Beetle Kill pine flooring, paneling, trim, siding, 2x4s, and logs. It's beautiful, cheaper to buy, and helps Colorado forests. Visit their showroom in Lakewood or their booth at the Denver Green Festival. Mention this ad and receive 10% off your purchase. For details, call 303-205-WOOD or LowersHardwoods.com.
Santa Fe Pottery has all the touches you need to make your yard a special place to be. Their spring sale is going on now. Hurry in for the best selection on a wide variety of planters, pots, sun faces, chimeneas, and more. For the first time ever, Old Santa Fe Pottery is taking 20% off their glazed outdoor pottery. During the spring sale, all Mexican outdoor pottery is 30% off. Old Santa Fe Pottery's spring sale. You'll find savings and selection on the perfect pieces for your yard. Old Santa Fe Pottery, 2485 South Santa Fe Drive, just south of Evans.
This is John Elway. I could have gone anywhere for LASIK, but I selected Icon LASIK right here in Denver. Icon has performed over 65,000 LASIK surgeries in Colorado using the latest custom laser technology. And Icon makes LASIK more affordable starting at $4.99 per eye. Schedule your free LASIK consultation today at 720-524-1001 or visit iconlasik.com. That's 720-524-1001. And tell them John sent you.
How windy it can get here in Colorado, not to mention our rain, snow, hot sun. Why not get the most durable patio furniture you can find at Freehoff's Patio and Garden Center in Boulder? Hi, it's April Zesbaugh. April is heavy metal month at Freehoff's, which means they've got a ton of wrought iron and other metal tables and chairs on sale all month. All of their furniture has been tested and selected for our harsh climate here. Spelled Freehoff's, pronounced Freehoff's, at 33rd and Arapahoe in Boulder. The quality and deals make it worth the drive from anywhere.
1-800-7094. 1-800-700-7094.
.624. 39 degrees on the Front Range, cloudy. God, the schedule of rain and sun around here is not coordinating properly with the weekend. All I wanted to do this weekend was like be outside, get out of the city, and it's going to be cold and rainy. 39 degrees here, going up to 52. Rain in the forecast tomorrow, high of 48 predicted with rain in the forecast. Sunday a little better. All right, so Movie Friday. Attack of the Killer Plague Movies. There's a great article on Salon.com. And so when you call up, give us your favorite plague movies, disease movies, plague movies, in obviously in memorial or in light of the swine flu panic. couple movies that that the Salon.com lists in that genre. Children of Men, that's a great, great movie. It's about a disease that hits the world where women can't have children anymore. It's a really, really dark movie. Salon lists Blindness, I Am Legend, Diary of the Dead. Oh, and obviously this is a creepy one. 28 Weeks Later and 28 Days Later. That's a crazy movie. Other movies, older movies, The Omega Man, The Last Man on Earth, Resident Evil. I remember Outbreak with Dustin Hoffman. Pretty bad movie, actually. So what's your favorite Outbreak or Plague movie? And also when you call up, 303-713-7600, give us your take on the debate yesterday, my debate with Mike Rosen. Did you enjoy the debate? Who do you think won? Did you learn anything? 303-713-7600. And then the more serious topic, who do you think was right in yesterday's vote? Yesterday, the Senate voted down the bill to allow bankruptcy judges to reduce or renegotiate the terms of mortgages so as to prevent homeowners from being foreclosed on. 8 million Americans are on the brink, roughly 8 million are near or in the foreclosure zone. And so who do you think was right? Do you think Senator Mark Udall was right to vote for the cram-down legislation? He voted with 44 other Democrats to give bankruptcy judges this power. Or do you think Michael Bennett was right? Michael Bennett, the appointed senator, voted with the entire Republican Party and 11 Democrats with the banking industry and against this cram-down legislation. Who do you think was right, Udall or Bennett? 303-713-7600. Again, 303-713-7600. Let's go to the phones. Joanne in Denver, you're on AM 760.
Hi, you actually said it, and I didn't think anyone would even think about it. 28 Days Later,
yeah,
awesome.
Yeah, it's a scary movie.
It is, but it's very realistic, and I think, and since it's European, it's just a little out there. Very realistic, though. Makes you wonder.
I've only seen pieces of it because it's when it's come on, I've fired it up, and then my wife sits down, and it's like we're not really allowed to watch that in our house.
Yeah, it's that's the thing is, if anyone were to even just ask me what is my all-time favorite movie, that's it. And actually, the vice president of our company always asks a trick question, and that's my answer. And he just looked at me kind of sideways, like, "When did I get that from you?"
28 Days.
Favorite all-time movie.
Wow.
I kid you not. It's because it's so realistic. It's so possible. It's so fiction, but yet could be nonfiction.
All right, you've convinced me. I'm gonna rent it or something. I'm gonna watch it.
Awesome movie. And if you get it on DVD, because I obviously own it now, what I really liked about it is the fact that they put all the endings on it.
Oh, cool. You mean like possible endings?
Well, yes, because when they tested it with audiences, the audiences had to decide how they would want
it
to end. And I'm not going to blow it for you because they did give you the opportunity to have all the different scenarios.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, good.
And I'm like a really nice, happy-go-lucky person. But
okay,
like
all right, good.
Scenario.
Yeah, so you're not like a super dark person.
Oh, God, no. I am such a sweetheart. That's why I think that the VP was just like, okay, that's a little bizarre.
All right, Joanne.
You have to have that dark side. But as far as the Udall thing.
Yeah, what do you think?
Yeah, Udall. Udall was right. And here's the thing. I pay my mortgage. I have a whole bunch of credit card debt. I'm living the American dream is how I see it. And you know what? I would want to help my fellow Americans, not in the sense that, it's coming out of my taxpayer dollars or what have you, but if someone's filing bankruptcy, there's a reason. They've lost a job, they've had medical expenses. We shouldn't judge them, but a judge can.
I'm glad that you mentioned that, because we didn't get that point in yesterday. There's a study out there by Harvard University that by far the most the reason for most people filing bankruptcy is medical debt. Mm-hmm. Or loss of a job. So the whole idea that people go into bankruptcy because they've made, you know, irresponsible choices. Now, obviously, there are people who have made irresponsible choices, but you listen to the Republican rhetoric around this, especially around the bankruptcy bill a couple of years ago, and they came up with this, like, updated welfare queen idea, like, oh, you know, people are driving around luxury cars, and they're living the good life, and they made those bad choices, and that's why they're in bankruptcy. Well, it's somewhere, if I remember correctly, I think it's about three-quarters of bankruptcies have to do with medical debt or losing a job. So not exactly, you know, people living the high life.
Exactly. And that's why, you know, I've made, you know, the right decisions, and some of them have also. It's just life, you know, handed them a lemon and we need to help them out. You know, it's not, they didn't do it to themselves, not all of them. Sure, and you know, there's going to be a few bad apples in every seed. I mean, look at the Democrats. Hello.
Right.
Not everyone's going to vote the same. Not everyone's going to believe in the same thing, and not everyone's going to file bankruptcy for the right reasons.
That's exactly right. Hey, thanks for the call.
You bet. Have a good one.
You too. I'm David Sirota, filling in for Jay Marvin on AM 760 Progressive Talk, 303-713-7600. Give us your thoughts on the debate, yesterday's debate between me and Mike Rosen, and give us your favorite disease or plague movie, because it's Movie Friday. And tell us who you think was right, Mark Udall, for voting for this cram down legislation yesterday, or Michael Bennett, who voted with the banks and against the cram down legislation. Danny in Denver, what do you think?
Hey, David, you the man.
Thanks, man.
Yeah, how's it going?
Good.
Hey, listen, I don't have a movie. You know, I've listened to you, you know, do this Movie Friday, and I've had an opinion on almost all of them except this one. I can't think of a disease or outbreak movie that...
Have you seen Children of Men?
No, only one I could think that I've seen is Outbreak.
Outbreak. That's an okay movie. It's like, it's a little cheesy.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
I can't say it's my favorite, you know, movie. I know I've seen others, I just can't think of it.
Yeah, well, there's, you know, the 28 days... 28 weeks later,
mm-hmm.
Children of Men. There's a bunch out there, and I'm sure I'm not thinking of many. And I bet you people are going to call up today and give us a bunch of them.
Yeah, I bet. So I'll listen to that in that 28 days that the woman was.
It's a scary movie.
Yeah, I think I'll try to get that one. But the reason I was calling is I listened to part of your debate with Mike Rosen.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to apologize to you because I've been listening to you since you've been on for Jay. And, you know, I didn't know if you were a good debater or not. And I've listened to Mike Rose and you know, I know how he can, you know, try to bully people.
Mm-hmm.
And, man, you did great.
Thanks, man.
Yeah.
Thanks.
No, you did great. And you did have him frustrated. He tried to bully you.
He seemed pretty ticked off, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. And I listened for about 45 minutes, and the hypocrisy of him, that's why I quit listening to him. He just would drive me nuts. But that whole argument, that segment you guys had on the bank regulation changing as opposed to, no, they changed the law.
Right, that was really pedantic. You know, that was I didn't even understand his point.
I didn't either.
It was very bizarre. But, I mean, you know what it says to me? Man, it says to me that conservatives are afraid of that debate now.
Yeah.
Like they don't want to have that debate, and so they have to try to use all sorts of like rhetorical pyrotechnics to distract from the real issue.
Right, that's exactly what that was, because if he couldn't understand that simple fact, he was being dishonest, you know, and
evasive.
Yeah,
exactly. And the whole point, I mean, I thought the funniest part of it was when he was telling me, you don't understand.
Right.
You don't understand. And now, I wasn't on the debate team, but I'll tell you this. John McCain made himself look like a fool when he was lecturing Barack Obama saying, you know, you don't understand, you don't understand.
Right.
It's kind of like the last refuge for a debater when they don't know,
exactly.
when they actually don't understand, or perhaps they do understand that they're cornered, so they just say, well, you don't understand. It was pretty funny, and at one point, I said, you know, Mike, you're just reiterating what I've just said.
Exactly.
And I said, we can go to the tape if you want.
Oh, yeah. I was screaming at the radio. It was driving me nuts. I'm not a great debater, but, you know, I know common sense and I know basic facts. And, you know, following that debate, I don't know how anyone could listen to what he was saying and understand the difference.
Well, let's hope he's willing to in the future. Let's hope he's willing to have another one. I hope he's not so ticked off that he won't do it again. I thought it was definitely at least a valuable experience. Hey, Danny, thanks for the call, man.
Yeah, thank you.
6:35. I'm David Sirota, filling in for J. Marvin here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. It's Movie Friday. What are your favorite plague or disease movies?
It didn't take long for Mike to dig into you, did it?
No.
Immediately he said, I think one of the first comments out of his mouth was, I think your station is way more far to the left than our station.
Yeah,
is
I know.
What?
It's like so ridiculous. And by the way,
it was like his first thing he said.
And then he later on, he like kind of made a blanket statement about the audience. You know, we got one caller, and he was like, oh, well, the AM 760 audience, the entire audience, he sort of denigrated the whole audience. And it's like, you know, these are the standard tactics of conservative radio hosts. And, you know, he seemed pissed off, but I thought it was a worthwhile thing. I thought it was fun.
I like the name calling, and then like, David, you're a bedwetting, you know, big government.
Let's go to break.
Spender. We'll be right back.
It was so funny. That was really funny.
That was good radio. Great radio. Hopefully we can do it again.
I hope we can too. So give us a call, 303-713-7600. Give us your opinion on the debate yesterday. If you haven't heard it, go to www.am760.net. I think you'll appreciate it. Give us your favorite plague movie or disease movie, Outbreak, Children of Men. 28 Days Later, those have been listed. And also, tell us what you think. Who do you support? Mark Udall yesterday cast a vote allowing bankruptcy judges to write down mortgages so as to prevent foreclosures. He voted against the banks. Unfortunately, Michael Bennett voted with the banks and with 11 other Democrats and with the entire Republican Party to kill that bill. Who do you think was right? Udall or Bennett? 303-713-7600. Let's go to John Turk with traffic.
Well, it's nice and light as we're starting off the morning commute. We do have some fog, though, in a couple different spots. You'll see it on I-70 near Floyd Hill. Also in the south end of town between Denver and Colorado Springs at Monument Hill. Freeways around the metro looking pretty good for us. Speed still in the 30s. Southbound I-25 up in Northland. Again, downtown going to be a little heavy. Also on 225 leaving at Colfax. Again, after Yosemite, that's starting to build there on the approach to the tech center. Also busy westbound 76 at 74th Avenue, but we are accident and stall free. Forecast mostly cloudy and cooler. Isolated rain showers and a high of 53 today. Tomorrow, rain in the afternoon and a high of 50. And on Sunday, partly cloudy with a chance for showers and a high of 57. Right now, 42 degrees in Denver. John Turk, AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Denver, show your pride, move your ride. Help to keep Denver's streets, air, and water clean. Move your car on your street sweeping day to keep the Mile High City clean, and you won't get a ticket. Visit keepitcleandenver.org to sign up for a free e-minder or text, or call 311 for free calendar stickers.
Stop all the labeling. Stop all the name calling. The country is...
Hi, Tom Hartman here to tell you about Independent Power Systems, a proud supporter of AM 760. Did you know that electricity rates have gone up by 38% in the last year? Why not lock in low electricity prices for life by going solar? Let Independent Power Systems show you how rebates and tax incentives pay for up to 60% of a solar system. That's nearly $25,000 off. Independent Power Systems reminds you that the Xcel solar rebate won't last forever. Act now before the opportunity to save up to 60% on solar ends. Call Independent Power Systems at 303-443-0115 for a free solar assessment from the Coors Field Solar Experts. Going solar is easy. Let Independent Power Systems show you how. Call 303-443-0115. That's 303-443-0115. Or visit Independent Power Systems online at solarrips.com. SolarRips.com.
This is John Elway. I could have gone anywhere for LASIK, but I selected Icon LASIK right here in Denver. Icon has performed over 65,000 LASIK surgeries in Colorado using the latest custom laser technology. And Icon makes LASIK more affordable starting at $4.99 per eye. Schedule your free LASIK consultation today at 720-524-1001 or visit IconLASIK.com. That's 720-524-1001. And tell them John sent you.
The winner of American Idol.
You are a victim.
Get ready for another reality TV show which promises to significantly transform the lives of its contestants. If you think you've heard it all before, think again. This as-yet-unnamed show, which is set to air on NBC sometime later this year, will feature the king of self-help, Tony Robbins, who hopes to strengthen and motivate individuals faced with real-life struggles.
Reality TV Rundown.
Every once in a while, a revolutionary product comes along that changes everything.
Take it out of the future.
With the new iPod Shuffle, think zero, as in zero buttons. Yep, user control of the new Shuffle from the main unit to the headphones results in a reduction in size of around 50%. As cool as it sounds, though, there is one small caveat. If you're doing anything other than sitting still, you're going to have trouble grabbing the constantly swaying headphone control.
Inspector Gadget.
1-8-1. That's 1-800-331-2181. 1-800-331-2181.
The Australian government has agreed to release the gold koala into the U.S. The gold koala is a 24-carat solid gold coin and will be released to the American public through agreement with the New York Mint. We'll have a number you can call in a moment. But first, during the Depression, no one wanted to face economic turmoil without the security of gold. After the Depression, the U.S. melted down millions of U.S. gold coins and relatively few remain today, leaving many U.S. coin dealers unable to meet current demand for gold coins. Now, through an agreement with the Perth Mint, the 24-carat solid gold Australian gold koala is being released to the public on a first-come, first-served basis at a price of $98 each, with a strict limit of 5 per caller when you call now. Please dial carefully and call the Mint directly at 1-800-700-5216. Again, 1-800-700-5216. 1-800-700-5216.
.642 on the Front Range. 39 degrees going up to 52 with rain in the forecast. Decidedly not a sandals day. What'd you think about the debate yesterday between me and Mike Rosen? If you didn't hear it, go to www.am760.net. And if you did hear it, give us a call. Let us know what you think about it. Curious if you liked the debate, if you learned something from it, and who you thought won. Movie Friday, what's your favorite plague movie? Favorite movie about an outbreak in light of the swine flu panic? And then the political question of the hour is, who do you think was right, Mark Udall or Michael Bennett? Udall cast a vote yesterday for the bill that would allow bankruptcy judges to renegotiate the terms of home loans so as to prevent foreclosures. Michael Bennett voted with the banks and with 12 Democrats and the entire Republican Party against that bill. Who do you think was right? 303-713-7600. We'll get back to the phones. Let's go to Kevin in Boulder. Kevin.
Good morning, David.
Morning.
Well, I've got a lot of comments on the so-called debate yesterday. First of all, just the format of it was flawed in that there was no moderator, and Rosen would set up, you know, tell several lies in 30 seconds or less, and then say, oh, got to go to break, and then
right.
He gave you a chance to respond to that. So it wasn't truly a debate as far as that goes. And what was discussed, I felt, was kind of a distraction from Obama's first 100 days. He talked about lots of different presidents, but not a whole lot about what Obama has done. And then he speculated on about what Obama is going to do, and you guys argued about that. So that was kind of irrelevant as well. So I kind of thought the focus was off. And the big thing was is that number of times Rosen interrupted you and said, oh, well, let me finish, blah, 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 blah. And so you would, you know, let him make his point. But when you went to make a point, he would interrupt you. And unfortunately, you did not push back on that and say, now, wait a minute, you have to let me finish.
Well, I thought I got... if not equal time, and I thought I got close to equal time. I didn't time it, so maybe you're right. I mean, I don't know how it sounded to everybody else. That's true.
I tried to look at it objectively. I knew what the points were that you were trying to make, so I had kind of an advantage there. But if I hadn't have known what your points were, I would have thought that you got smoked in that because you spent a lot of the time agreeing with what he said, and then you didn't.
I spent a lot of time agreeing with what he said?
Yeah, you'd say, well, I have to agree with that, or, you know, various things that, like Clinton did or whatever.
Well, I do agree with that. I mean, I do agree that Bill Clinton was part of deregulation. I'm not.
Right, and I agree with that as well. But the thing is the more that you agreed with him, the less it looked like you, it made him look like he was more right and you were more wrong because you agreed with some of the things he said, whereas he didn't agree with anything you said.
All right, so. Well, that's a fair point. I think the only thing I would say is that, and that's a fair point, it's good criticism. The only thing I would say is that I don't necessarily think that you get credibility by pretending every single argument your opponent says is wrong. I mean, unless they're really wrong. I mean, and I think that, I actually think that it's interesting that you bring this up because I think that that's what hurt, to my mind, what hurt Rosen was that he was willing to concede absolutely nothing. And when you do that, I think you end up sounding like a talking points machine.
Right.
You don't end up sounding like an honest person.
I think that you, some agreement's fine, but I think it was a little too much.
That's fair enough.
And like I said, I think that it really kind of lost the focus on the first 100 days. You know, you spent a lot of time arguing about Roosevelt's unemployment differences.
And right.
You never mentioned the fact that 25% unemployment was caused by the GOP in the first place.
Well, no, that's not true. And we can go to the tape. I mentioned that twice. I said it followed a Republican era, and then I also said that it was as the result of specifically of many of Herbert Hoover's Republican policies. So,
right.
I did say that.
I did hear that, but then he followed up and with his whole spiel about how it didn't
fix the great
didn't fix
right,
it, and
yeah,
I
right.
felt that you kind of needed to respond again to that.
That's fair enough. Hey, I gotta get some other calls. You got a movie?
Yeah, Andromeda Strain.
Oh, that's a good one. Nice. That's a good one. And a great book, by the way.
Yeah, my folks wouldn't let me watch Dark Shadows when I was young, too.
Oh, okay.
It was about vampire soap opera.
How old is it? How old is that movie?
It wasn't a movie. It was a TV show.
Oh, TV show.
Yeah, that was back in the 60s. It was a black and white.
Cool. I'm glad you reminded me of the Andromeda Strain. That's a good movie. Thanks, man.
You bet. Have a great day.
All right, you too. 6:48, I'm David Sirota, filling in for Jay Marvin on AM 760 Progressive Talk, 303-713-7600. Give us your take on the debate yesterday between me and Mike Rosen. If you haven't heard it, www.am760.net. Give us your favorite movie about an outbreak in light of the swine flu panic. Tell us, if you want, who you think was right on this cram-down bill. This bill to go up against the banks. Was Udall right for voting against the banks? Or was Michael Bennett right for voting with the banks? Bob in Denver, what do you think? Bob.
David.
Yes, sir.
I told John this morning that I've been trying to call him for the past 2 weeks to compliment you guys on your shows over those periods.
Thanks, I appreciate it.
Yeah, and I've been listening to talk radio since the late 50s. I used to listen to Rosen, and he's got a hot collar. There's no doubt about that.
He does.
And you are definitely easier to listen to.
Good. Well, I appreciate that.
Well, I appreciate you guys' shows and the subjects you carry, and I appreciate the time you give your audience.
Hey, thanks, Bob.
And just keep it going.
All right, man. Thanks.
Thanks, David.
I appreciate it.
Hey, wait a minute.
Yeah.
I think the judges should be able to adjust these loans because Lord, they are just loans all the time in the higher bracket of business.
All right, so there we go. So we got one. Somebody weighing in for Mark Udall. I agree with you, Bob.
I don't have a movie. Thank you.
All right, man. Thanks, Bob.
Bye-bye.
All right, we'll do one more call before the break. We'll go to Elizabeth in Denver.
Hi.
Hi.
I really enjoy your show.
Thanks.
My movie is The Stand by Stephen King.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. See, I you know, it was funny. We were talking about this. Turk and I were talking about this before the show, and we were like, ah, there are enough movies out there about, you know, diseases, outbreaks, this kind of thing. And I said, no, I think there are. And I named a couple, and now everyone's bringing up some great ones. I mean, the Andromeda Strain, now you're saying The Stand. There are a lot of them out there.
Yes, there are. There's a lot of creepy ones.
Yeah.
That's the creepiest one, in my opinion.
Yeah. Would you listen to the debate yesterday, or do you want to weigh in on the Udall Bennett issue?
Well, I think Udall did make the right decision in that matter. And regarding the debate, I didn't hear all of it. My husband did. I thought you were really great, and Rosen was really being a bully, like that other guy said. And
you know, he's interesting. You know, without the hold button, I thought he got a little unhinged at times. I thought he got a little hot under the collar, as a previous caller said. I wasn't expecting that, because he's usually pretty smooth when he's just doing his show. Hey, Elizabeth, thanks for the call. 651, I'm David Sirota here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. We'll get back to your calls after a traffic update with John Turk.
Well, traffic is looking pretty good for us on the freeway systems around town. I am getting reports of a crash, though, eastbound I-70 at Wadsworth. Also one on Wadsworth southbound side around 72nd. Those might be the same accident. That's what CBS is reporting. But something going on there near Wadsworth and I-70 around town. Southbound 225, pretty full leaving Aurora. First at Colfax, again after Yosemite. Also busy on southbound I-25. In those normal spots, North Glen, our heaviest jams right now between 104th and 84th, speeds in the 20s and 30s and there. Also going to be busy after Park Avenue, taking you past Spear Boulevard. Patchy fog as well, I-70 near Floyd Hill, and near Monument on I-25. Forecast cloudy with pretty good chance for rain showers. Highs in the lower 50s. Right now, 42 degrees in Denver. John Turk, AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
When you're on your motorcycle, nothing catches you off guard. Until something does. Live longer. Ride further. Take a class. Learn more at comotorcyclesafety.com. That's comotorcyclesafety.com.
Mario's.
Introducing TGI Friday's restaurant's new $5 sandwiches and salads. 9 irresistible new selections like the JD Chicken Sandwich or Santa Fe Chop Salad, all for just $5. And to celebrate, right now, any sandwich or salad on our menu is just $5 too. So hurry in to get yours now, because this offer is only for a limited time. Visit Fridays.com for details. Gimme more Fridays. Prices and participation may vary for a limited time only.
Presenting another compelling identity theft metaphor, brought to you by Identity Guard. Today, icebergs.
When it comes to identity theft protection, a free credit report is just the tip of the iceberg. But often, there's no iceberg below the surface. Just a tip, bobbing about. So get Identity Guard. With superior protection tools and patented technologies, Identity Guard is a colossal identity theft protection iceberg. All this from the company that's protected over 20 million people. And that does not sound like something an iceberg tip could accomplish. So get Identity Guard and get real protection. Not just a free credit report tip.
Don't be a victim of online identity theft. Get Identity Guard. Serious 21st century stuff for 21st century crime. Sign up now and get the added security of your personal password protector, ID Vault, a $50 value. Free plus shipping and handling. Call 877-600-2669 now. That's 877-600-2669. Or visit identityguard.com.
You know how windy it can get here in Colorado, not to mention our rain, snow, hot sun. Why not get the most durable patio furniture you can find at Freehoff's Patio and Garden Center in Boulder? Hi, it's April Zesbaugh. April is heavy metal month at Freehoff's, which means they've got a ton of wrought iron and other metal tables and chairs on sale all month. All of their furniture has been tested and selected for our harsh climate here. Spelled Freehoff's, pronounced Freehoff's, at 33rd and Arapahoe in Boulder. The quality and deals make it worth the drive from anywhere.
That's Jared!
Hi, I'm Jane Seymour. My mother used to say, always keep your heart open. It's the only way to give and receive love. Those words inspired my new Open Hearts jewelry collection.
And now, you are invited to see the Open Hearts by Jane Seymour jewelry collection at Jared, the Galleria of Jewelry. priced from just under $50 to $1,300.
When your heart is open, love will always find its way in.
Find a Jared store or shop anytime at Jared.com.
.655, I'm David Sirota, filling in here for Jay Marvin on AM 760 Progressive Talk. It's Movie Friday. What's your favorite plague or outbreak movie? What'd you think of the debate between Mike Rosen and myself yesterday? And who do you think was right, Mark Udall or Michael Bennett, in this vote on cram-down legislation? Everybody's got 20 seconds. We're going to get in all these calls if we can. Everyone's got 20 seconds, so make it brief. I got to get the national news in a few seconds. So here we go. Greg in Denver, you got 20 seconds. Greg.
Yeah, Charlton Heston and the Omega Man.
All right. Yes, that was mentioned earlier. Good.
That was one real good one.
Yep.
Little thing about Mike Rosen. Years ago, I used to listen to talk radio. He came in. I thought, what a kind of refreshing guy. He was talking to some guy sometime before the Olympics. It was right after the Olympics where people got killed and there was a security problem. And he called Greenpeace a terrorist organization. From that day on, I never listened to him again.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's, you know, when...
That's what happens. Sometimes people can break their trust with you, that's for sure.
Exactly right. Well, listen, thanks.
Hey, thanks so much.
You bet.
All right, let's go to... Let's see. Kip. Kip, what are you, you're on AM 760.
Yes. Yes, I thought you did a wonderful job against Mark Rosen. His tactics were very transparent to me because what he would do is he would talk over you, and then when you got a chance to respond, he would go to break. I was really extremely shocked that he wasn't willing to even discuss.
He definitely had the home field advantage, if you will, because he was moderating.
But that wasn't even just all of it. I mean, for example, how he lost his shirt in the as a direct result of deregulation, he wouldn't really engage you.
No, he wouldn't.
He would just say, "That's fine. He broke the law," which was kind of irrelevant. It was like saying someone broke the law when they tailgated someone and never paying any attention.
Right, and he didn't want
there wasn't anyone. Checking people for the speed.
Exactly. He didn't want to talk about enforcement. Hey, thanks for the call, Kip.
Yep.
All right, Dutch. Dutch in Westminster.
Yeah, David, I listened to part of the debate, and I got so mad because he kept cutting you off, but I didn't finish it. Two, what was Ritter thinking appointing this idiot Bennett?
That's the question. You got me. You got me.
You had a thing on a couple of days ago or last week about why Ritter's polling is down. This is one of them.
Yeah, that's for sure. Hey, thanks for the call.
And one other thing that nobody's mentioned.